The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
It is Friday, October 19th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, officials are investigating the circumstances behind a fatal police-involved shooting in Vineland, Cumberland County Thursday. It happened around 3:30 in the afternoon in the parking lot of Just for Wheels car, truck, and van rental on the 2500 block of Delsey Drive. Officials said, according to a preliminary investigation, the shooting occurred when detectives from the Cape May County Prosecutor's Office and Lower Township Police Department encountered a man as they were conducting a law enforcement operation at the scene. Officials said one of the detectives shot the man. Officials say that the victim was taken to a hospital in Vineland where he was pronounced dead. Officers shut down a three-block radius, crippling the evening rush as the New Jersey Attorney General's office investigated at the scene. Officials say none of the detectives were injured in the incident. The U.S. Justice Department has opened an investigation of child sexual abuse inside the Roman Catholic Church in Pennsylvania using subpoenas to demand confidential files and testimony from church leaders, according to two people familiar with the probe. The subpoenas served last week followed a scathing state grand jury report over the summer that found that 301 predator priests in Pennsylvania had molested more than 1,000 children over several decades and that the church leaders covered up for the offenders. Now, federal prosecutors are bringing the Justice Department's resources to bear. U.S. Attorney William McSwain of Philadelphia, who issued the subpoenas, wants to know if priests, bishops, seminaries, or others committed any federal crimes. He demanded the bishops turn over any evidence that anyone in their ranks took children across state lines for illicit purposes, sent sexual images or messages via phone or computer, instructed anyone to not contact police, reassigned suspected predators, or used money or other assets as part of the scandal. The grand jury subpoenas also seek documents stored in secret archives, historical archives, or confidential files and records related to the diocese organizational charts, finances, insurance coverage, clergy assignments, treatments, and other documents. A representative for McSwain declined to comment, as did the Justice Department spokeswoman. Though local prosecutors generally handle child sex abuse cases, federal prosecutors can step in at times. Immigrant children who are here illegally are caught in the crossfire of a battle between the city of Philadelphia and the federal government. An Arizona-based company is planning to house 60 children in Philadelphia who arrived alone in the United States across the Mexican border. The company wants to hold them at a property in Logan. Philadelphia City Councilwoman Helen Jim says that she will fight any attempt by Vision Quest, the Arizona-based youth service agency, to house children caught up in the immigration crisis. Vision Quest has a federal contract to take in 60 illegal immigrant boys ages 12 to 17 years old to a facility on Old York Road in the Logan section. Instead of being at homes with families, they are in virtual jails, the councilwoman said. The children, who are from South America countries and Mexico, cross the border alone and are currently in shelters across the country. Vision Quest CEO Peter Rinaldi said that they are renovating the accommodation to make it more comfortable to live in. He said, our job is to find them families and sponsors. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney is not happy either and says that the city is trying to figure out a way to stop it. We don't want to be a part of the child incarceration the Trump administration is engaged in, the mayor said. Vision Quest says its programs give the children the support that they need. It teaches them English and helps them get acclimated to a new place. The CEO says, we don't want a huge fight. That is not our intention. Vision Quest previously used the property for a juvenile justice treatment facility for 125 Philadelphia kids. Councilwoman Jim says that the city ended that contract for a reason. We got records from our city service and at state level. Vision Quest has failed time and time again to be an appropriate caregiver for children, whether they are refugees from Honduras or children born in this city. Vision Quest CEO did not say when the children would be arriving, but welcomed the opportunity to speak to the mayor and other city officials. In sports this morning, the Sixers won their home opener, beating the Chicago Bulls 127-108.
They did it!
Ben Simmons had a triple-double with 13 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists, and Joel Embiid added 30 points and 12 rebounds to lead the Sixers to the win. Markel Fultz scored 12 points on 5 of 15 shooting, the most shots taken by a Sixer. They're home again tomorrow night with a game against the Orlando Magic. Tip-off is at 7:30. The Blue Jackets used a three-goal flurry in the second period to get past the Flyers on their way to a 6-3 win last night in Columbus. Cam Atkinson had back-to-back goals in the second for Columbus, and Sergei Bobrovsky had 32 saves against his former team. The Flyers are also at home tomorrow afternoon with the game against the New Jersey Devils. The puck drops at 1 o'clock, just a few hours before the Sixers game. The Boston Red Sox are heading back to the World Series. Last night in Houston, David Price pitched the Red Sox past the defending champion Houston Astros 4-1 in Game 5 of the American League's Championship Series. Next stop for the 108-win Red Sox is Fenway Park for the World Series opener on Tuesday night against either the Los Angeles Dodgers or Milwaukee Brewers. That series continues tonight in Milwaukee, and the Dodgers lead the series 3-2. Game time is at 8:39, and the Eagles, who are at home on Sunday afternoon with a game against the Carolina Panthers, are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. Ladies and gentlemen, hang on to this bucking bronco of a radio show today. It's going to be a wild ride. We have a lot going on. We have everything from comedy to music to money.
Yes!
How about that? All right, we got
That's
it all.
Good.
All right, so we're going to do the birthday bucks. All right, first of all, chance to win $1,000 coming up at 8 a.m. Listen for your opportunity to win that, and that'll be the first of five chances you'll get today. Comedically, we will have our friend Nikki Glaser in the studio today. She'll be at Punchline tonight and tomorrow.
Love her.
Musically, we will have Barnes Courtney, who is a singer-songwriter, is performing tonight at the Fillmore, and he's very talented.
Yeah, you were saying you were digging his sound.
Yeah, so he'll be in. He's going to be performing live in the studio. In the world of film, we have director Peter Hedges. Oh, I'm sorry, writer. Is he a writer?
Writer-director.
Writer-director.
Writer-director, playwright, and novelist.
Peter Hedges. And he is behind the film Ben Is Back, which is in theaters in December. It's a Julia Roberts movie. Looks pretty intense. But we're going to have him in today. And he's got a wonderful resume, too.
Unbelievable. What about Gilbert Grape? What's Eating Gilbert Grape? And about a boy, he did the screen adaptation, was nominated for an Oscar for that.
Yeah. So he will be in today. We also have a meet and eat with our friends from Dilworth Park. It's Oktoberfest coming up. And I'll check and see if we have giveaways in conjunction with that. But most importantly, yes, ladies and gentlemen, this morning we have your opportunity to win $970 million.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That is correct. Yeah. We actually, we have enlisted a little known, he's, what would you call him? I don't know. He's a fictional character
deity
that comes out on occasion.
Yeah. One of our lesser known characters.
Yeah.
But we think if you're looking for something that stands out in a crowd, this is the one you need to use.
Yeah, he may be your deity if you win $970 million.
Absolutely.
We have the Lottery Baby.
The Lottery Baby.
He's going to be in a secret location. We'll reveal that location this morning. And he will have with him the Mega Millions lottery tickets to give away for free. And there's going to be some rules on this.
Yes.
Number one, how you find him and how we verify that you did hear about it on the radio. And a verbal contract that we will have with you.
Yes, yes.
In sharing the wealth if you do win $970 million.
I think it's only right.
Yeah. I would love to know how binding said verbal contract is.
My guess is not much, but we'll go for it.
I think it is.
We'll see.
I don't know.
But whatever it is, Preston, this is the largest monetary giveaway ever done by, but not really done by, a morning show.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Biggest ever.
Ever.
And we
not really done by any morning show.
And we have a very, very big baby that's going
to
hand
these. Oh, yeah. It needs to be, because you need to see the baby so you can get your chance to win.
So we have the Lottery Baby, who will be out today, and we'll give you those details when and where a little bit later on, but your chance to win $970 million. Just yet, we could call it a billion. But then we might fall into legal issues when you win, and, you know, we said a billion, didn't really win a billion, and then you won't give us our money. So.
Yeah, calm down.
But we don't want a whole lot. We just want a little taste.
And here's a fun fact.
Fun fact?
The if you don't win, the Lottery Baby gets fussy.
Oh,
so there we go.
Yeah.
You don't want that. Yeah.
All right, so those things and more coming up. It's going to be a great morning to share together. Let's take a quick break, come back in a minute, start giving some stuff away with the stupid question, and, of course, the Entertainment Report, too. Stay there. We'll be right back.
This 93.3 WMMR Audio On Demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand & Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I'm going to do a stupid question. I'm going to pose this question to you, and if you can answer it correctly, we'll give you a four-pack of tickets to see Temple take on Cincinnati Saturday at the Link. So the question that I have for you, George Ferris invented the Ferris wheel.
Yes.
In 1893 for what World's Fair? What city was the World's Fair going to be in? 215-263-WMMR. So what World's Fair did we see the Ferris wheel introduced? All right.
Do you want to know a fun fact associated with that?
Sure.
His cousin, Lonnie Grabitron.
Was that later a World's Fair
thing
as well?
Yeah.
Lonnie Grabitron.
Huh. Did he invent anything?
Lonnie.
Yes.
He did. Okay.
The seesaw.
I'll have to look him up.
All right. What is Lonnie short for? What is that?
Lonnie is just such a I'm sorry if your name's that's terrible to say if your name is Lonnie. It's just a unique name that you don't hear a lot.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's short for anything.
Lonnens?
Lonnens? Lonberg?
Let's go through the birthdays. Today is Friday, October 19th. It's Chris Kattan's birthday today.
Chris Kattan. I was just watching him. They remember that remake of the House on Haunted Hill they did?
Oh, yeah. He was in
he
that.
He was in that.
You're right.
Yeah.
I remember.
And, of course, Corky Romano.
Yeah.
We had him in twice, I think. Maybe three times. But the first time he was weird and the second time he was normal.
We found out why.
Okay.
He has severe, severe back issues, severe back pain. And he said subsequently to those interviews, Nick, and he was on TV, actually breaking down crying. He was overprescribed painkillers.
Because you remember, like, he was like picking apart a bagel,
yes,
and had cream cheese over his face and stuff.
Yeah. He from all the physical comedy he's done over the years. If you saw him the last time he was here, he was sitting sort of off the chair.
Yeah. Okay.
So he is celebrating his 48th birthday today. Then we have Jon Favreau.
Love him.
Nick, do me a favor. Pull up Jon Favreau's IMDb because you know him from great films as an actor and a director, but I want to see what all he has directed because he has really turned into a powerhouse.
Iron Man, Jungle Book.
Of a director.
Iron Man 2.
Great movie called Chef, which has become one of my favorites.
Yeah. I love it. We had to
watch that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It's a good father-son movie. Yeah.
I have it.
And it also makes you hungry as F.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God. The grilled cheese he makes?
Yes.
And the Cuban sandwiches.
Yes.
Oh, man. You want to eat.
You'd like it, Kate.
On this grilled cheese, is it bread and cheese?
But it's how it's made.
Yeah,
you gotta see it. He's not kidding.
Yeah,
yeah. You're literally your mouth will
you'll
water
be famished
while he's making it.
Did you
because
like?
He puts this. He puts love into it.
He does.
You know, it's just
it's
awesome.
It's lovingly filmed.
Yeah.
Did you like the movie Cowboys and Aliens?
I only gave it one viewing, and I didn't hate it.
It was all right.
Yeah. So
yeah,
you know,
he directed that.
All right. He did.
He's directing a new one in the Jungle Book vein, is he not?
Yeah, Jungle Book 2.
Yeah, Jungle Book 2, and also says The Lion King.
Oh,
And he's directed an episode of Young Sheldon. He's done some TV stuff as well.
The Lion King. There was a photo that leaked this week. It was Seth Rogen. Childish Gambino, Donald Glover is in it, and a whole bunch of, I think Beyonce's in it as well, so it's a live-action version of The Lion King.
Okay. And did he direct Elf?
He did.
Wow.
Yeah, and he brought Peter Billingsley in for Elf, because he and Peter Billingsley have been buddies for a long time, and Vince Vaughn as well.
They're also co-producing partners.
Yeah.
He is, Jon Favreau, 52 years old today. We were just talking about John Lithgow yesterday. He celebrates his 73rd birthday today. Maybe it was the day before, but he's going to play Roger Ailes.
Roger Ailes.
If that ever comes to light, that project.
And we talked about how super talented he is. I forget we were talking to somebody else about his range. The same guy who played in The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai. Mm-hmm. Played Winston Churchill in The Crown.
Yeah.
Amazing range.
And has done slapstick comedy stuff with Third Rock from the Sun.
I love it. Yeah.
So he's 73 today. The great Evander Holyfield is 56. Man, we were supposed to have him in one day.
Yes.
He canceled, unfortunately. Yep. I was really looking forward
to it. Honestly, if
I
ever see him, I'm going to kick his ass. Nobody does that to us, right?
That's right, man. Not putting up with it. It's also Trey Parker's birthday today from South Park. He is 49 years old.
Who would have figured that when you saw those first second grade level animations from South Park, the talent behind both those guys.
I mean, the writing.
Unbelievable.
And then the music behind it.
Yes,
too,
yeah.
They're insanely
talented. I just
talented.
Watched Team America again.
Oh, yeah.
God. Hasn't lost a bit of it. And, of course, if you can watch the unedited version with the sex scene.
When years ago when we went to Hawaii and another couple went with us, Will and Lori, and they were sitting in a different part of the airplane, and I'd given them a few movies to watch, and that was one of them.
Right.
So we're about an hour into the flight, and I'd forgotten I'd given these movies. And all of a sudden, I hear them howling with laughter from halfway on the other side of the plane. I'm like, what are they laughing at? And I went over, and they were watching the movie.
Yeah.
It's so classic, and it's so dirty, you can't believe.
Unbelievable.
Trey Parker's 49 today. Michael Gambon, Dumbledore in the last three Harry Potter movies. Last three?
No, more than that.
Several more than
so,
that.
So, yeah.
Six.
Yeah.
Because he came in after Richard Harris died, and Richard Harris only did the first two.
Yep. He's 78 years old today. Jason Reitman, who's going to be in our studio.
Yes, he will be.
Next week.
I believe it's next week, yes.
Okay. Director of Juno, Thank You for Smoking, Up in the Air. The front runner is the one that he'll be talking about when he comes in, with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, playing Gary Hart.
Yeah, he's 41 today. And then the last birthday, a woman who I was just smitten with when we had her here in the studio, Rebecca Ferguson, the actress.
Yeah.
She was in Mission Impossible, the last two, I think.
Yeah. She's badass.
And she was just enchanting. And she celebrates her 35th birthday today. So happy birthday to Rebecca Ferguson. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to this. Where do we see, what World's Fair do we see the debut of the Ferris wheel, 215-263-WMMR, and it is Jake we're going to go to. Jake, hey, good morning to you.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, buddy. All right, so what World's Fair, what city was that in where we first saw the Ferris wheel?
The great city of Chicago.
That is correct. Chicago. All right, Jake, hang on the line.
Chicago!
You got it right, and we are going to say it with a four-pack of tickets as some football battles nationally ranked Cincinnati. Saturday at noon, Lincoln Financial Field, presented by Temple University Alumni Association. Be a part of homecoming at the game, and you can visit owlsticks.com. A week from today, we'll be in the shadows of a 40-story tall Ferris wheel, the London Eye.
Just
going
to say it, yeah.
Yeah,
I've ridden on it, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
It gives you a really glorious view of London, and it's a lot of fun.
1 week from today,
yeah,
we'll be cracking the mic in London. Can you believe that?
Yeah,
wow. And we should sound awesome after a full night traveling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into some of the entertainment stories. We'll start with this. Jamie Lee Curtis. She's been promoting Halloween.
Yes,
she believes the latest Halloween film is more than just an installment of the horror franchise.
It's a musical.
Sees it as a direct reflection of what's happening in our culture when it comes to sexual assault, she said. So the movie was written in January 2017, and it was a movie about trauma. We never make movies about what happens after the violence. We make movies about violence. We glorify it, but we never ask what happens after. And in the asking what happens and seeing what generational trauma looks like, all of a sudden, on October 10th, 2017, that first article came out in The New Yorker, she said. All of a sudden, women were started talking about stories of violence perpetrated against them, sexual violence perpetrated against them, oppression perpetrated against them by powerful men in powerful positions who stole their innocence. She said, and now all of a sudden, this idea of a woman, you see a bunch of those perpetrators are in prison today, and the women who helped put them there are relieved a little bit of that trauma. And that's what our movie is going to bring to people on Friday. So she comes out kicking ass, I guess, is this.
That's the whole deal. So she has basically been arming and preparing for the eventual when she knew it was going to happen, when Michael Myers escapes from the asylum.
Right.
So and because of this, to her friends and family, she appears to be a raving lunatic.
Right.
And but they won't listen to her.
Yep.
But she knows it's coming.
She knows. Yeah.
And that, I think, is a really cool element because she saw in the original Halloween, she saw what he was.
Yeah. And so now she's very hardened and ready to go.
I think I got to go back and watch this movie because I can't remember anything about it.
It does so many things. You know, I have to protect myself from geeking out too much, but it does so many things that are great. So much of the first times you see Michael Myers, really, you're seeing him in daylight. You're seeing him. It's on Halloween. He would blend in with so many other people doing stuff on Halloween. It takes place during the course of that one night. You know, there's some other moments as well. But when she has to jump into action, she's just a high school girl. She does what she has to do to save these kids. It's pretty amazing, and it holds up really well.
And how does he die? How does he not die?
Well, there's a very telling moment at the end of the film. If you haven't seen it, you know the classic line. Jamie Lee Curtis is there. Loomis has shot him. The psychologist who is keeping track of him shoots him. He goes over the balcony, and Jamie Lee Curtis, who's just been fighting for a life and it was able to repel him, says he is the boogeyman. And Donald Pleasant says, as a matter of fact, he is. He goes and looks over the balcony, and this is after Michael Myers has been shot like 7 times. And where he was on the ground, he's gotten up and left.
So do we believe he's Jason-esque?
We believe that.
You just can't stop him?
Yes,
All right, but we'll see how they wrap it up in this film. Picks up 40 years after the events of the original Halloween, and that premieres today, by the way. Kendall Jenner is furious with TMZ.
Oh, my God!
And she took to Twitter to vent her anger.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't she call him TMZ?
She published a story. TMZ had published a story about her alleged stalker showing up at her pool with details about the home's location, and she tweeted, "And how do you guys think these terrifying people know where my house is?
I mean, TMZ.
Because you, and she spells it C-U-Z, because you release not only photos of my location, not only photos, but my location. It is so beyond unsafe. Is this not our 1 ounce of privacy we can get?
What? Listen, I'm stalking Kendall, but I have to agree with her."
She continued.
"You made it too easy for people."
She continued in a second tweet saying, "I understand what I've signed up for, but when you release the exact location to where I live, that is when you're putting my life in danger."
Did they, in fact, release the exact address?
That's a good question.
Or did they simply say she's in Calabasas or something?
You know what? It doesn't indicate directly in this particular story, Steve. I'm not sure if they, you know, if they just showed a picture or if
Inquiring minds want to know.
She continued by saying, "Your home is your safe haven, but for me, because of outlets like you, my home is anything but. You should be ashamed of yourself."
Yeah, you tell her, girlfriend.
This is. I love that guy.
The thing is that he's a benevolent stalker.
I want to hang out with him.
I do standard stuff. I pleasure myself in your mailbox. I send you dolls with their heads cut off. Not, you know, strictly low range stuff.
Not weird.
Not innocently harmful. Crazy.
Yeah. You're not going to physically harm anybody.
I got things to do.
In the mailbox. Okay.
And then I put the flag up to let you know there's something there.
Made a deposit.
Why did I laugh at that?
This is not the first time that Jenner's had to deal with a stalker. In 2016, a man had followed her into her home, and she later received a permanent restraining order against him. The man who was busted stalking her this time also previously targeted her twice, TMZ reports. Last year...
Do we not assume, by the way, just to jump in here quickly, that at this point, doesn't the family have a... Do they have a security detail that goes with the separate entities, or
they can afford it?
So yeah. I mean, honestly, I know it would be a crappy way to have to live, but in this day and age,
out of necessity,
and also they can sort of just blend in. They just keep a surveillance on you. Well, they certainly have the money to do that.
I mean, everybody's entitled to privacy, right?
Yes,
but these people make their lives and their living based on being public figures. So there are different rules that apply to them at their own request, almost.
I know what you're saying. Listen, you absolutely deserve the right 100%. to have your own deal, and it's wrong that this has to be the case. However, since it is the case. And you are living a high profile existence you that will invite this periodically.
Yeah.
They do have the wherewithal to handle that.
Yeah, they could. And I don't know what their living arrangements or her living arrangement is. But Steve, I know that you and I, when we went out to California one time, we took a bus tour of famous homes.
Yeah.
And one of the neighborhoods that many celebrities had lived in over the years was a flat out big, gigantic neighborhood, but it had a security force at the front of the neighborhood. It was part of living there.
Nick, its own paid for security was basically a police precinct as you drove into the area that was totally dedicated to that. And that was Spielberg lived there.
Yeah. So I don't know what her living scenario is. She said, I literally, this was last year on an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. She had said, I literally once a week have a stalker, maybe more, twice a week. Someone shows up at my house.
Come on. Once.
She said.
Maybe twice over the holidays.
Someone shows up at my house every single day, she said. Members of her family, including Kim, who is famously tied up, held at gunpoint, and robbed of $10 million worth of jewels, have also been targeted in the past. So she's a little pissed at TMZ, but I don't know the story about how, you know, the location that they were leaving.
Do you know, here's also an ineluctable fact to this thing, and not to belabor the point, but on their Instagram, when they're or Facebook, when they're posting pictures of exactly what club they're at, you know, they're waving the red flag as well.
Wow, so she lives in Charlie Sheen's old house.
Wow.
That's what she bought.
Freaking wonderful.
She's a smoking hottie.
By the way, you're a smoking hottie.
Yeah.
If you know what's so, you know, I would not move that panel behind the bathroom toilet.
This is a camera
with explosives. That's where I keep my stash.
All right,
but that becomes public knowledge when these real estate transactions take place.
You can, you can absolutely find that on. Yeah.
So if you know where Charlie lived, then you know where Kendall lives.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know where I live.
Let's get to some other stories. Kristen Bell may play a princess in the astronomically popular Disney Insta classic Frozen, but she's not above throwing down with some of the other heroines from the House of Mouse. Belle reserves special derision for Snow White, who she fears may be sending the wrong message about strangers and consent.
What does Snow White do?
Well, she said, this is talking about, you know, her kids watching this and saying stuff to them. She said, every time we close Snow White, I look at my girls and ask, don't you think it's weird that Snow White didn't ask the old witch why she needed to eat the apple or where she got that apple? I say, I would never take food from a stranger, would you? And she's telling this to Parents Magazine, by the way.
And she never asked why she's living with a bunch of midgets.
And she said, and my kids are like, no. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing something right then. She's also concerned about the unrequested physical attention. She said, don't you think that it's weird that the princess kisses Snow White without her permission? She was asking her daughter.
Oh,
that
the prince does?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, she's in a coma at that point.
Right. Because you cannot kiss someone if they're sleeping. So she's trying to...
Oh, I get it. So she's teaching. Like, she's not saying it's inherently wrong, but she uses it as a teachable moment.
Yeah, her daughters are 5 and 3 years old.
They're stupid.
Yeah, they're dumb. They don't know anything yet. So anyway, she says that. Rosie O'Donnell is making some serious changes in her life. She put her country estate in Saddle River on the block for $5.9 million amid rumors that she and her girlfriend, Elizabeth Rooney, are engaged.
Well, and Rosie herself said she can no longer pull that plow. She's tried. The thing in her mouth hurts.
Yeah. Certain age,
you
got to stop doing it.
I think I heard that she was going to go to Super Sale because they were having a sale, or Super Sale because they were having a sale.
You're
going to take me to Super Sale tomorrow because they're having a sale.
Now, her girlfriend and possibly fiance Elizabeth Rooney is a police officer in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Really?
But they aren't necessarily looking to move in together. They've been dating for about a year. A friend of The View co-host tells People that she's selling because she's living in New York City full time now. And most of the kids are grown and did not need the big house. So that's what.
That's a big ass house.
Yeah.
It's freaking huge.
You're still here.
I'm here.
It's not going anywhere. It's
now like, I don't know that Kendall might find my stash behind the toilet. I'm a little worried. I rigged that with explosives.
Who's always here? It's Charlie's always here. Regis.
Yeah. Yeah. Always in the background.
Michael videotaping.
Yeah, there's some perennials. Yeah.
Hey,
Chloe.
Julia Roberts. She's going to be in this movie that we actually have Peter Hedges in for. Ben is back.
Yes.
But this is pretty neat. She ripped the page out of one of her most beloved characters' playbooks and gave a fan a wad of money to spend on Rodeo Drive, baby. So that's that's right out of Pretty Woman.
Yeah, yeah.
The 51-year-old Roberts partnered with Omaze to gift a fan with a Viv-sponsored spree and lunch with her in L.A. as well. Who's Viv? Now, Viv was a character in...
Fresh Prince.
No.
And Viv.
I'm Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
You haven't seen Pretty Woman.
I don't really care about that.
You never saw Pretty Woman?
I never cared enough to watch it all the way through. It is definitely...
It's a sweet movie. It's not mega great, but it's fun. It's fun.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Is it?
I love it.
Oh, you're a big Richard Gere fan.
And him, yep.
Yeah.
But Viv was... What's her nuts from...
Laura
San Giacomo.
San Giacomo.
Oh, wait, no. Julia Roberts was Viv.
No. Oh, yes, you're right. I'm sorry. Who was?
What was her name?
San Giacomo.
Lonnie.
She was Viv?
Yeah, she was Viv. You're right.
It was Vivian. Lonnie.
Kit.
That's the car. DeLuca. It's a talking car.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Pretty car.
You have to go turn tricks now, Viv.
I don't want to be a hooker, Michael. Hey, stranger. My tailpipe is rather warm.
Oh, wow.
Please avail yourself. I'm just not good at this, Michael.
You're doing great, kid. You're doing great. You know what? Why don't you unhook your car bra?
At that time?
Yes!
At that time, there would have been a bra on kid, for sure.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay, so anyhow, she did this campaign in support of GILSEN, which is the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, a nonprofit working to ensure safe and inclusive schools for all. And it is also launching in conjunction with the GILSEN Respect Awards set to take place today in Los Angeles.
Some of those Omaze things are pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
They're all experiential-based.
I've entered.
Have you?
Yeah.
Did you do the one for the Avengers?
I did the one with Rob Downey Jr.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, man, how unbelievable would that be?
That's crazy.
I didn't win. Let's see. Gigi Hadid.
Gigi.
May get paid big bucks to flaunt her curves, but she still doesn't like the way she looks in the buff.
Shut up. Tears me. Yeah, honestly.
She said, I loved my body when I was curvier, and then as I lost it, people were still mean. She said, yeah, I know I'm skinny. She said at a Vogue conference, I'm looking in the mirror.
I just can eat everything all the time and never put on weight. I had 5 points of ice cream now and there was nothing on even the scale at all. It's just crazy.
She said,
and I wake up in the morning, it already looks like I have makeup on. It's crazy.
A friend of mine on Facebook posted not that long ago, I just can't seem to gain weight. What should I do?
I'll tell you what.
Like everyone underneath was like, did you really post that right now?
And honestly, when I'm having sex, 30 orgasms in a row is enough. Please. My husband's penis be a little bit smaller?
She said, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm trying to eat burgers and do squats. I want an ass, too. I get it. I got it. Thank you, she wrote.
Yeah, do squat, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do squat.
You want to gain weight, then do
squat.
Do squat.
Please to do squat.
Please to do squat, Gigi.
Some people, she said, are empowered and excited to be naked, and that is amazing. I wish I was one of those people, and I'm not one of those people.
I wish she would shut up.
And I've accepted that about myself, and that's okay.
She was talking to the curvier Sports Illustrated model in this video we're watching, obviously.
Oh, okay.
What's her name? She's gorgeous.
I know you're talking about.
It's funny because they talk about her as being this, she's large. She looks like an average woman.
Yes.
Except these other people like Gigi Hadid and Bella Hadid are all, you know, impossibly thin.
Yeah. Judy Blume has repeatedly turned down requests to turn her groundbreaking book, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, into a film. But she finally agreed to grant the rights to James L. Brooks's Gracie Films and Kelly Freeman Craig. Freeman Craig will write and direct the film. I've read a synopsis of what that is about. It's a young girl.
It's basically Taken.
Story. No, it's not. It is not. But I've forgotten exactly what it is about.
These are all tween books.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're all. So years and years ago, when I worked at a bookstore, I was doing stand up and I was working at a bookstore to get health insurance.
Yeah.
And so I loved it. It was awesome. The Judy Blume books were so immensely popular.
Did she, was she Super Fudge?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Vanicula?
Lion Eyes or Tiger Eyes? What is the...
Vanicula.
Bunicula.
Oh, Bunicula.
No, she or Bunicula.
Yeah, it's a rabbit vampire.
Okay. And then one last story. Damien Chazelle.
Yes.
Will receive a Hollywood Director Award for First Man, and Glenn Close and Hugh Jackman will also be honored for their career achievements at a ceremony. It is the Hollywood Film Awards, and that will take place November 4th at the Beverly Hilton Hotel.
This means there's every possibility that Damien Chazelle will mention us in that speech.
Of course he will.
Because he had a wonderful interview here.
Close can currently be seen in The Wife, and Jackman can be seen in The Front Runner.
We talked to Glenn Close.
We did.
And it was she let the S-bomb slip.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hilarious.
She was doing jury duty,
yeah.
And I asked if people were distracted by her in the jury, and she goes, oh, they don't give an S.
Yeah.
This is New York.
They don't give a
Nobody cares.
Yeah. I would love to talk to her again, because since then, my friend from high school is like her personal hair person. Like that, he had.
See if he can broker that interview.
Yeah, maybe. See if
they can get her in,
because he was doing her hair on Broadway, and now he's like with her all the time.
Okay,
we'll give her turkey bacon.
Let's do clips. Would turkey bacon?
Turkey Scrabble?
What did you say?
Yeah. Can You Ever Forgive Me is the true story of an unapologetic forger who recreates letters and articles of famous writers for the thrill of acceptance. In this clip, Melissa McCarthy talks about playing a character who knows she's doing something wrong but refuses to stop.
I just found her ethic to her work and how kind of unapologetic she was. It's like she got caught, she knew she was wrong, I know she was wrong, and yet I still loved how she stood by her work and said these were the best moments of my life and the work was my best.
Shut up!
Nick, pull up a clip of this. It doesn't look like a comedy.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It looks like someone who's sort of, it almost looks like a darker Walter Mitty type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They dowdied her up, too. Is that a prosthetic nose that she has?
That's a good question.
I know those testicles aren't real.
Can You Ever Forgive Me is in theaters now, by the way. Let's do the next clip, please. Every week, MacGyver has to MacGyver his way out of situations while explaining to the audience what he's doing. And here, MacGyver himself, Lucas Till, explains how he needs a non-MacGyver... a non-MacGyver life makes it hard to be MacGyver.
Oh, that makes sense.
You sound insane.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Say it again?
Explains how his need a non-MacGyver life makes it hard to be MacGyver.
You crazy, man?
Okay. Let's just roll
Let's see
if we can figure it out.
Well, I mean, I'm MacGyver at work every day because I was spending so much time doing voiceover. I was like, I can't do this on my Sundays, so let's cut the voiceover down, right? So that means that now I have to do that on camera while I'm doing the MacGyvering.
What the happened?
All right, I think I know what it's supposed to be.
All right. Okay.
Lucas Till explains how his need of a non-MacGyver life makes it hard to be MacGyver. There's a word missing, so there you go. All right, entertainment-wise, that's what we got for you this morning. We have a lot on today's program, okay? Birthday Bucks coming up at 8 o'clock. Nikki Glaser is going to be in our studio. Live music by a really wonderful singer-songwriter, Barnes Courtney, and he's performing at the Fillmore tonight. He'll be popping in. Director and writer Peter Hedges is going to be in to talk about Ben Is Back, and that's going to be playing at the Film Society's festival, which is going on now.
The advance word is great, and his own son, Lucas, is playing Ben.
And we have your opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, when the lottery gets to a certain number, it just happens. He materializes. We don't know how. We don't know why. We don't care. We just want a chance for you to win big money. The Mega Millions is up to $970 million, they're saying, and we have found that the lottery baby is back.
So what happens if you saw X-Men Apocalypse?
Yes.
It's basically the same way that the lottery baby comes back to life.
Okay. Something in the universe creates
signals.
This whole thing. Yeah. And so the lottery baby will be out and about today with your chance to win $970 million.
I'm sorry. As you were saying the words X-Men Apocalypse, I'm looking at the screen at Lucas Till, and I'm reading the words
X-Men Apocalypse.
There's something weird going.
Do
maybe
we just become best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
what?
Did all right,
just
Nick,
become best
Nick,
friends.
Yep.
Okay.
What's your favorite? Dinosaur.
Velociraptor.
Yeah.
What's your favorite non-porn magazine to pleasure yourself to?
Glamour.
Good Housekeeping.
Oh.
Damn it.
What did you say?
Glamour.
Glamour.
That's a Seinfeld.
Who would you bang if you were a chick?
John Stamos.
Yes.
That one I got.
There you go.
Lucas Till.
All these weird things
happen. Well, at least we know his personal
preference.
I can find something to spank into in Glamour, you know, probably.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
All right. So, Kathy just gave me a look.
I was going to say something, but then,
go ahead.
Then there'd be a clip forever.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She's getting wise to that.
Let's give away some beer. I think our listeners need a drink at this point. So I have a case of Yards Rival IPA on the 21st, which, is day after tomorrow. The Birds are going to be hosting Carolina. Be sure to have plenty of Yards Rival IPA on hand. We'll take caller number 18 right now. Look for Rivals Old School Kelly Green Packaging with throwback pictures on the bottle. Pick some up at Druids. Druids Keep in Northern Liberties, by the way. 215-263-WMMR, call number 18. We'll take a break. Shortly, we're going to tell you where and when you can get those lottery tickets. So that's coming up. Actually, are we going to do that? Start that giveaway next, Casey?
Yeah, buddy.
Ah! Stay with us.
Woo-hoo!
You will have to be on the move to get these. We'll give you that in a moment. Stay put.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
As legend goes, as the sun rises on the day of a very big lottery, sometimes the lottery baby materializes.
And visits the good boys and girls around the world.
It does.
Yeah.
And has a chance. I love that we're creating this.
Yeah. The mythos is being built as we talk.
So...
You mean to tell me the Tooth Fairy just came into existence without some work?
Right.
Yeah, to tweak that bitch.
What?
Forgot to wish you guys a happy Lottery Baby Day.
No, happy Lottery Baby Day to
Shalom.
You.
Shalom.
What,
is that a Jewish thing?
Oh my God.
970 million dollars is what the Mega Millions is up to. You know what we haven't? And this is literally, we're just discussing this as we're getting going here. If you
win, we care enough to prep.
If we get you a lottery ticket and you win, you do owe us a little bit because we did part of the work for you. We're facilitating this. We bought the winning ticket. We're giving it to you.
All right. I'm going to hand over my decision to you. I'm going to give, since you're the lead of the show here, what do you think? Who gets what? And I will sign on board. I'm a man of simple means.
Here's our verbal contract that we're going to make here. Right?
I don't need a lot. I need a couple action figures.
Yeah.
That's it.
I need a lot.
I need the most, probably.
Okay. And I also need to find out how binding this agreement is. So if a lawyer can call in and let us know how legally binding this is.
We don't want people to be dissuaded.
Oh, wait,
because,
hold on. I was watching 6ABC this morning, and they had a lawyer on talking about making it official. And basically, it has to be written down, whether it's in a crayon, a pen, pencil, whatever it is. It just has to be written down.
All right. I'll write it down.
Well, we're going to go on good faith that you'll make good on this. And if you
and
don't,
that's always worked out throughout history.
Yeah, right? Hasn't it? Listen, it's all we can do.
Yes.
All right? Hopefully we've given you some entertainment over the years, and maybe you'll give us millions of dollars.
Yes, we hope.
What's the take home? If you win 970,
the take home is never make a verbal deal.
It's roughly half, right? Somewhere in that range,
a little bit more than half. So you're taking home a half a billion dollars,
about that,
approximately,
roughly.
Okay.
And then there are other things that come into play with that. Anyway, let's make a decision right now per show member, and who are the show members that we include on this?
Okay.
That's where it starts to get
sticky.
Listen,
I think it's
their glory. A million.
A million is fine.
Yeah, and it's the core 20 here at the station.
The core 20.
No, we have to throw in Chuck and we have to throw in Nick Murphy. I think it's eight.
All right.
Now we have to throw in Eric Simon because
Stop saying names.
What compels you to do that?
Because he was in the room when we were talking about it.
Let me ask you, Casey. Who was in the building when we said it?
It's a good question.
Who was in Ballot Kinwood when we
said it? I'm turning his microphone off because he's going to get us into trouble.
We are arguing over the potential of winning money.
This is how crazy
if somebody actually wins, none of us are going to be friends.
$1 million for me, Steve, Casey, Kathy, Nick, Marissa. That's Nick McElwain, Marissa. Nick Murphy and Chuck D'Amico. That's it.
$8 million.
And here's my deal. The agreement.
Here's my promise.
Jesus.
If I win the million, if I get the million and they win, I'm going to take $500,000. I'll split mine and give the other. I'll split the other half into two halves and give some to Todd and Eric. Will that make you happy?
Wow. Preston, it's fine. It's not your money.
It's not your money. You don't have to worry.
It's okay.
I'm subdividing it now. You don't even have to worry about it.
I just want to get this rolling.
Let's get it going.
$8 million, you owe it to us, and we'll
that's certainly
divide it
that's
evenly.
That's certainly acceptable.
I think so. Okay.
All right, sounds good.
You take
guys.
On a day when the lottery baby rises from the ashes.
I know.
You have to complicate things.
All right, we're going to go to the baby right now. So let's find out where he is and what you need to do to win the lottery tickets. What's that, Kathy?
We need to give the baby money.
No. Oh.
No,
she's right. Smash a chair over your head.
No, she's right. She's right.
No, you don't know the legend of lottery baby. The lottery baby refuses all monetary.
Lottery baby, rewards. Do you want to speak to that?
Baby wants a cat.
Baby wants a cash.
All right, so thank you.
How did I know that?
$9 million. Okay. The baby gets ticket the yes. A million as well. Right. Have to. Okay.
Have to.
Good morning, lottery baby. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're wonderful.
I love the lottery baby. By the way, lottery baby is also an accomplished stand-up comedian.
He is, and we'll reveal that later on. But the lottery baby is indeed, he looks like a sad baby, but maybe that's because he's crying tears of joy for those who might
win. He's crying because he knows we're going to beat him out of the money if we win.
Oh, no.
I just love giving so much.
Okay, so actually he's got this realistic crying baby head mask on.
Oh,
and we just need to find out where you are, lottery baby, and the phrase that people need to say in order to verify that they are indeed listening to the Preston and Steve show this morning.
Okay, I'm at the Acme in Clifton Heights on Baltimore Pike.
Okay, the Acme in Clifton Heights on Baltimore Pike. And if people pull up into that parking lot, they'll find you there. And I think we have 100 of these to give away.
Do we?
We do,
yes,
yeah.
That's
we
sensational.
Do. Yeah.
That's right. We have 100 tickets to give away. And the line is, hey, asshat, no one puts lottery baby in the corner.
All right, let's try this again. Hey, asshat. Nobody puts lottery baby in a corner. Okay.
And see, lottery baby's making it rain right now with the lottery tickets.
I see that he's doing it. We're FaceTiming this right now. I'm sorry, Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Right now.
We're MySpacing it.
We're faxing it.
Faxing it.
All right. So here's what we're doing. We have your chance to win, and you can go by right now, but you have to say the phrase, hey, asshat, nobody puts lottery baby in a corner.
And he will dispense to you one lottery ticket per customer, correct?
Correct. One per customer.
No one gets it without saying it to the lottery baby.
That is correct. So one per customer, and if you win $9 million, we're gonna divvy that up amongst our
group. I'm seeing cars pulling.
Well, they might just be shopping at Acme, Steve. I think they are.
Oh, that's right. It's an open supermarket.
You got one?
Yeah. Turn your radio down. What do you have to say?
Yes! Close enough. Lottery baby in a corner. He was clearly listening.
Lottery baby.
Yes. Hey, asshat, nobody puts lottery baby in a corner. I can understand that actually viewing lottery baby in person might make you a little nervous and you might trip up what you're supposed to say.
Lottery baby, can you have him get out and burp you?
Can you get out and hug me? Come here and hug me.
He's driving away.
He's backing up.
Yeah, back it up.
Looks like there's a woman there, though. Maybe she'll burp him.
All right, here we go. Go ahead. What do you have to say?
Lottery baby, can you hear me?
Say that one more time.
I said, you know what you need to do? If they're going to say the phrase, you need to hold the phone up to their mouth so we can hear it, okay?
Taking it out of my face.
It's in his mask.
I mean, in the baby's head, we should say. It's not a mask.
Well, the bottom line is we're seeing this on our Facebook Live that there are multiple people that have shown up already.
Wow, so that's quick.
You're going to want to hear this one.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hey, asshat, nobody puts lottery baby in the corner.
Yeah! A little bit of an accent. Irish, it sounded, yes.
Nice accent.
Yeah, damn little baby.
It's the baby. All right.
We're losing it.
Yeah, lottery baby, we'll check back in with you. Keep it up, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. I'll put him on hold. So there you go. Your chance to win $970 million this morning.
He's getting selfie action, Preston.
He is. Why wouldn't you want a picture of that? Oh, my God. All right. So while we're monitoring the exploits of one Mr. Lottery Baby
on this beautiful sunny morning,
we have some other things to talk about. Some stuff that I should clean out. I think it's the junk drawer.
Oh,
I think
really?
It's time to clean out. Yeah, because right. I have a few stories that are piling up on me, and if I don't get rid of them,
you'll be a hoarder.
I will be, and I don't want that. I don't want to be
trapped under your own story.
Die in something that fell on me, and it was a bizarre file story or something. Okay, so. A new study from the University of Surrey finds that gamer girls are 3 times more likely to choose to pursue physical science, engineering, or math degrees compared to their non-gaming peers.
Gamer girl. That makes sense.
It does. But you know what? It's not the same for guys. It didn't apply to boys. The study leaders
said... They pursue their parents' basement.
They said that there are still far too female PSTEM role models, P-S-T-E-M. That's physical science, engineering, and math.
Oh.
Role models for young women. However, the research shows that those who study PSTEM subjects at a degree level are more likely to be gamers. So they encourage girl gamers today to become the engineering and physics students and pioneers of tomorrow. But it's not the same for guys. Which is interesting. I went to, my son and I, night before last, went to a GameStop up in Limerick, and there was a girl working there, and man, was she knowledgeable.
She knew her stuff.
She knew everything about every game and the gameplay and how it worked and what you need to do and all this types of stuff. So, you know, when you ask, is this a decent game, she started asking us what types of games we like.
Yeah.
And then she's like, no, you'll like this, and came over and started. But she was very, very intelligent and very, very specific. Had an engineering type mind, I thought.
So we encounter a number of gamer girls. It's just, you know, with a couple of our calendar girls have been gamers, and not just like, you know, passing it off and just a flirting interest, hardcore gamers. And I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're watching the video of the lottery baby. But I think there, listen. You can't be dismissive of gaming. Now, obviously, if a kid's locked in a room around the clock playing Fortnite and, you know, is starving to death, that's an issue. But on a general basis, I think it's cool to delve into the games.
I come and go. You game all the time, Steve. I come and go a game. I'm right now in a game. I'm playing this current Spider-Man game and having a blast with it. Now, I look forward to that hour that I have to go and do something.
Yeah.
I'll go and play that, and it's great.
I mean, if I do it, so it's like a half hour, you know, maybe 35 minutes, if you know, when I get a chance to do it. And I there's a couple of games I'll play at once. I used to never do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, there are people who are really committed who sit down for hours on end.
Some people are dismissive of girls that are gamers, though. I forgot who we had in here, and we had Lizzie, one of our calendar girls, who was here in the studio, and we had a comedian.
Big J.
It was a J.
Yeah, he was joking, but
he was like, she's not a gamer. Or something. He made some comment that was like, are you really a gamer, or do you just say you're a gamer because you got tattoos on you and everything?
But then she rattled off some information.
Yeah, okay.
And
he
was like, all right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brittany from, from the Superstar calendar, was it 2009? She did a couple times in the calendar, now on Very Cavalieri on E! Television. Mm-hmm. She actually went to school to write code for games.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Did she not follow through on that?
She did not follow through, but she's actually created a few video games.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Well, apparently, yeah, that's the case. If you have a proclivity to game and you're female, there's a chance that you might be suited for physical science, engineering, or math.
I had a proclivity.
Yeah.
I put ointment on it, and it shrunk. It was itchy, though.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what else we got here.
Man, the baby is. I gotta say, Preston. You,
all right, do you want me to go back?
The baby is hopping. Yeah, maybe.
All right, let me go to Lottery Baby. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Lottery Baby.
Lottery Baby. Can we hear somebody say the secret phrase, please?
Say the secret phrase. Oh, here we go.
No, I got
all. Oh, now she gets camera shy. How about you?
Hey, Jackass. Nobody puts. Oh no,
Jackass. Yes.
No hat. No,
Hat-ass.
Close enough.
I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Well, do we give her that one?
Yeah.
Say Hat-ass.
No ass.
It's, by the way, it's Hey Ass Hat. Nobody puts Lottery Baby in a corner. Lottery Baby, any idea how many tickets you might have left?
Probably around 80.
80.
Okay, so you're shipping through.
You got time to get by there. Yeah. Clifton Heights, the Acme at Clifton Heights on Baltimore Pike. The lottery baby is in the parking lot handing out lottery tickets for Mega Millions.
I mean, he is in the heart of Delco, so keep your expectations low.
Okay. No, it's all good. He's surrounded by...
Yeah, you hear that?
Yeah. That's good.
It's a good group of people.
And vehicles showing up constantly, Preston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. So just keep in mind, $9 million of that has to go to us. We have a system of who we're going to split that up with.
And repeat the phrase one more time.
It is, hey, asshat, nobody puts lottery baby in a corner.
Yes. Simple.
I bought the tickets from Cho's yesterday. How much money do they get if somebody wins?
Out of 970.
Hey, asshat, nobody puts lottery baby in a corner.
That's it. All right. We'll check back in with Lottery Baby in a little bit. I'm going to put him on hold. It's not as much as you would think it is.
It's not a percentage?
I don't know.
It's like a flat fee?
I think it's a flat fee.
Okay.
Yeah, because Kathy, you had said that for the $1 million winners dealer, they got $5,000.
$5,000, yeah.
Mrs. Cho was not happy when I went down to make that order.
Why?
Well,
because it was 100 separate tickets.
Had to print out.
He's just
it's McElwain, son of a bitch. Oh.
Mm-hmm. He's on a stupid morning show.
So anyhow, this continues. Let me get something else in the junk drawer. How about this one? Dogs apparently really can understand some language.
I knew it!
They even process the spoken word in a similar way to humans and in the same area of the brain, say scientists.
But it's mostly, though, what they're most adept at understanding, the romance languages, correct?
Yes, of course. It sheds light on why man's best friend gets excited when we say the word walk or responds to an affectionate tone of voice. But how this happens has remained largely a mystery until now. So what they did, they took a dozen dogs and they trained them to lie in an MRI scanner so that their brain could be monitored as toys were held aloft.
Who wants an MRI? Who wants an MRI?
Different areas of the brain lit up when the team either used the correct words to describe them or spoke gibberish. Hmm. The professor, Gregory Burns, said the dogs may have varying capacity and motivation for learning and understanding human words, but they appear to have a neural representation for the meaning of words that they have been taught beyond just a low-level Pavlovian response.
They're not simply responding to the tone. They're understanding the word at some level.
At some level, yes.
Big dogs running. Big dogs out.
This is a conditioned or predictable reaction. That's the Pavlovian response, but it goes a little bit further than that. Many dog owners think that their dogs know what some words mean, but there really isn't much scientific evidence to support that. Study author said that we wanted to get data from the dogs themselves, not just the owner's reports. So the researchers focused on questions surrounding the brain mechanisms dogs use when a human speaks.
Drink out of the toilet, a treat now and then.
Or even what constitutes a word to them. They said, we know dogs have the capacity to process at least some aspects of human language since they can learn to follow verbal commands. 12 dogs of varying breeds were trained for months to retrieve two different textured objects upon hearing their name. One, such as a stuffed animal, would be soft and the other harder or made out of rubber to facilitate discrimination. So they could tell the difference between the two.
Interesting.
After fetching them, the animals were rewarded with food or praise. Now, one success was consistently achieved. The dog lay in the scanning machine as the owner stood at the opening and said the names of the toys at set intervals and then showed them to them. They said, we expected to see dogs neurally discriminate between the words that they know and words that they do not. What is surprising is the result is opposite to that of research on humans. People typically show greater neural activation for known words than novel words. I'm getting lost in this, by the way.
Yeah, so am I. I need a dog to explain this to me.
Say that last sentence again.
I have to go back.
Okay,
A second here. It said that
turned the page already.
People typically show greater neural activation for known words than novel words.
Okay.
So it's unique words that they have not heard.
Yeah.
Okay. Or perhaps dogs recognize book titles more of
maybe
novels.
That's it. Yes.
Moby Dick. I know that book.
Yeah.
Jane Eyre, yeah.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Absolutely, Atticus Finch.
Dogs ultimately want to please their owners and perhaps also receive praise of food.
And yet they still eat poop.
A major challenge in mapping dogs' cognitive process is the difference in the size of their brains. A Chihuahua's is much smaller than a Great Dane's. So the study also does not mean that spoken words are the most effective way for an owner to communicate with a dog. This is interesting. This is the interesting thing that I took from this is...
Through sex.
If other recent research by the same team showed the neural reward system of dogs is more attuned to visual and scent cues than verbal ones. They said when people want to teach their dog a trick, they often use a verbal command because That is what we humans prefer.
Yes.
But from a dog's perspective, a visual command is probably more effective, helping the dog learn the trick faster.
That's why you'll see, like, a lot of times they'll do, you know, like, for the roll, they'll do the roll.
I do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Our dogs can sit and lay and roll over.
No!
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Who's teaching them that?
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I'm the worst.
Well,
I swear to God, I'm like, oh, Fozzie just doesn't care.
So we got them as puppies.
Yes.
And so
I started training them.
I went on YouTube. Yeah. And I'm like, how to teach. And my specific breed.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in that. Okay. And they're Yorkies. And so I watched a couple of videos. I'm like, okay. So I just followed the training method.
Really?
And they sit, lay down, roll over. They can do high five, and they'll stay as well. So
not only does my dog like not do that, but he looks at me like, no.
Are you crazy?
Whatever you're asking, no, and give me the friggin' bone. Like, no, I'm not doing it.
I can wait here all day, jerk off.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you want some lipstick?
So anyhow,
you wanted me, remember? Well, I'm in the position of power.
You might try visual aids. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hold up a sign.
I heard you say visual aids. Okay.
Yes. What?
I immediately went to the disease. I was like... No.
These are pictures of people with the HIV virus. Can you get my slippers?
Here's the movie Philadelphia.
Yeah. This is Tom Hanks 3/4 of the way through the movie. Get the paper. I'm not seeing a correlation.
No wonder he's confused.
It's interesting. If you use a disease to train your dog, these are victims of the bubonic plague. Roll over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, try visual aid.
Yes. 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 Visual aid.
Oh, my God.
Let's talk to the lottery baby.
All right.
Okay, let's do that. I'm gonna go to our lottery baby. Hi, lottery baby. Lottery baby.
Lottery baby.
Yes. Yeah. There you go. We wanted to check in with you and see how things are going at the Acme in Clifton Heights.
Guys, an ambulance just said it through their speaker system.
Oh, are they still there?
They won't do it again. Say it again.
They won't. They'll get in trouble.
All right. Don't worry
about it. But they came up and said, hey, asshat, nobody puts lottery baby in a corner.
Yes, in the ambulance.
Over the PA. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. So you gave him a lottery ticket, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay,
yes.
Excellent. So we have $970 million potentially to win. And our lottery baby, if you're just tuning in, is in a parking lot.
Hey, Asshat, nobody puts lottery baby in the corner.
Yeah! So on the morning of a big lottery, the lottery baby materializes and hands out lottery tickets.
Rises from the moss.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so this morning he happened to arrive in Delaware County.
There's a lot of moss out there.
Clifton Heights at the Acme and is handing out lottery tickets to those who stop by and say the magic phrase, hey, asshat, nobody puts lottery baby in a corner. And why do we have lottery baby? He's wearing a giant, realistic, crying baby
mask. $400 on this mask.
Yes, you did.
$400 we needed to use it.
Wow. Don't worry. It'll end up in my expenditures for taxes.
Hell yes, it will.
But, I mean, listen, we've used this sucker a lot.
Yeah.
What do you say, lottery baby?
Everybody's coming up to me like I'm a drive-thru.
You kind of are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll continue. We'll check back in, okay?
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Yes.
Lottery baby is so eloquent.
By the way, if you guys are familiar with the Bazaar of All Nations, I'm sure you've heard me talk about that.
Yeah.
That's he's actually right where that was. They knocked down the Bazaar of All Nations and they put up that in a Home Depot.
That's a nice looking Acme.
And he's in the shadows of Modell Sporting Goods, which used to be a movie theater. That's where I saw Back to the Future.
Casey, were soliciting for questions for Buxo versus Delco.
Yes.
Yes,
we got a lot of people who were submitting about the bazaar, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess it was a huge part of Delco history.
Yeah, it was part of the stuff that I studied. It never made it into any of the questions that I was asked, but I studied it. I forgot all the answers.
Someday we'll do just a category about the bazaar.
The bazaar, yes.
Please don't.
He studied.
One more story from my junk drawer, and since we're talking about the lottery, baby, let me dig in here.
Oh, yeah.
And see if I can find something.
Theater of the mind.
We'll do one about babies.
Since
we're talking about the lottery baby. A new report from the United Nations states that 40% of U.S. births now happen outside of wedlock. outside of marriage. 40%.
We're going to hell in a handbasket, guys.
That's up.
Wow, that's a lot.
Well, it's up. It's up 10% from 1970. So in 1970,
so not that much.
Yeah. Also today in the European Union, 60% of births take place outside of wedlock.
Hmm.
In most cases, the births are to unmarried cohabitating couples. And in the U.S., half of all cohabitating couples are under age 35.
What percentage of babies are being raised with single parents?
I don't have that stat here, Steve.
What percentage of babies are 300 pounds with large heads?
Two.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
I was just talking to a friend the other day about, remember we did the mouth swab with the Franklin Institute and
yes.
they kind of checked your background and stuff like that.
It was the Genghis Khan exhibition and that we all, or at least a good portion of the Earth's population has DNA lineage to Genghis Khan.
Right. So we were talking about how, I mean, there's all different online companies now where they just send you a swab kit, you swab, you send it in. And if, you know, you may have a family member that's also in their database, but how a lot of people are finding from, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, parents had babies out of wedlock and gave them up for adoption. And now people are finding their, you know, sister, brother, whatever, some sort of relative that they didn't know that they had. And my friend did it. And he said that they actually cautioned him and warned him. They said, just be careful because your match is so close that there's definitely somebody out there. He ended up finding his mother's sister. And the same thing, the grandmother gave the baby up for adoption.
Wow.
And then on his dad's side, they found a cousin. So it was both sides of his
Jared
family.
Jared Fogle.
but both his mom and dad, they found family members that they had no idea they had.
That's okay. Amazing.
Now, if I'm wrong in bringing this up, let me know. But wasn't there something kind of scandalous and you don't want to talk about it? Or
well, yeah. So when they came in with the results, they were very excited to tell me that I had a very close match to two people in their database. And they said that they don't normally see that. So I researched it a little bit. They gave me the information. I reached out to both of the women. We chatted for a little while over email, over Facebook. And
I'm so glad you called. You sound just like me. I was just going out for my winter activities. Oh my God.
Oh my God, we're related.
Fall activities.
You have a jingle too?
No,
so,
but
what did you find out?
We couldn't figure it out. We went to different family members, you know, on they did on their side, I did on my side,
wow.
And we couldn't figure out the connection. We couldn't find where we were connected. But when the Franklin Institute came in, they said to me, these people are definitely related to you.
Okay.
So just be careful in your research because things like this happen. People are given up for adoption or there are secrets, whatever it is, you're going to uncover something. But we couldn't figure out what it was.
Was it them that had cautioned you or was it, I thought like your mom said something, there was a family secret or... Okay, all right.
So anyway, they did caution
Don't
me.
Go. You okay. may not for, like what you find.
Yeah. And for that reason, Preston.
Okay.
And did you round the corner on a beach and find the Statue of Liberty half buried in the sand?
Did you guys know that Albert Einstein had a baby out of wedlock and then he eventually married the woman that he had that baby with, but they gave that baby up for adoption because they weren't married yet? And so I read this the other day and I was wondering if that baby ever found out that Albert Einstein was her father.
Wow.
Isn't that odd?
That is.
And it was in like 1908 or something like that.
If you're so smart, how come you can't put the toilet seat down?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, why did I investigate this one?
Oh God.
Yeah, I think there's a huge opportunity for very cool things to happen exploring this and also some not so wonderful things to happen. You know, I always think, Preston, of that scene in The Dead Zone when... you know, the guy, the doctor who's taking care of Christopher Walken has the opportunity to reconnect with his mother who he was separated from during World War II. And he says, no, it was not meant to be, you know, but sometimes for some, it depends. Oh, there's so many variables to this issue.
Well,
and for some people it could be life changing in a wonderful way.
You can create your own destiny in that regard.
Yep,
if you don't think it was meant to be, then you don't do it.
Yeah.
And if you do, then you do it, you know,
in one of these connections that my friend found, the family had told everyone that the baby died.
Ooh.
And that's who they found was that baby that didn't die.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you're right though, because now what? Now this person is like, wait a minute, you told everybody I was dead?
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
Yeah, it can be.
Well, don't take it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Don't take it the wrong way.
We still love you.
Here you are in a parking lot in front of an Acme.
Right. All right. Speaking of which, let's go back to the lottery baby one more time. Lottery baby.
Lottery baby's here. You guys here?
It sounds like you guys are having a party there, man.
We're having fun. You guys know the phrase?
Yeah.
So play together.
That was it. Seamless.
Yeah.
There we go. Give those people the chance to win $970 million. Lottery baby, as you're handing those out, you still have a decent amount of tickets left?
I have about maybe less than 40.
Okay.
Oh, we're buzzing through them.
Moving through that quickly. So you still have a little bit of time if you are in and around that area. Clifton Heights, the Acme on Baltimore Pike. See, you should be able to spot Lottery Baby if you're pulling in the parking lot.
Yes, look for the crowd and the large baby standing in the middle.
Exactly. All right, Lottery Baby, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll come back and check in with you in a few, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
He's so polite.
That's our Lottery Baby. All right, why don't we take a quick break now? Outside of all of that cash, we have $1,000 giveaway, which is pretty awesome as well. So we're going to do birthday bucks when we get back. B-Files coming up, and we have Nikki Glaser stopping by this morning.
Yeah.
We have musician Barnes Courtney who's going to perform in the studio. He's playing at the Fillmore tonight. Nikki's playing at the Punchline tonight and tomorrow. And then we have director and writer Peter Hedges in our studio today, as well as Amit Needmore. There's a lot going on. Stay with us. We're going to have a good time, I guarantee you.
93.3 WMMR presents the next installment in our series of fan-friendly, private, and free concerts. Pierre presents Rival Sons. Tuesday, October 23rd. Join us for this invitation-only noontime event at Ardmore Music Hall. Win your way in on the air with Pierre or at select upcoming MM Army events. Details and schedule at WMMR.com. Pierre presents Rival Sons from Ardmore Music Hall and 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Let's go back to the Lottery Baby, who's in Clifton Heights, Delaware County, Pennsylvania, and a chance for people to win $970 million. Hi, Lottery Baby.
Hi, guys.
We are watching you on Facebook Live. You have a huge... Oh, my God. It's just so much noise, you can't hear it. It's
overpowering the
phone. But you have a lot of people there now, Lottery Baby.
There's a lot of people, and I didn't think about being in Delco and running out of tickets.
Well, did you count out the line, Lottery Baby?
I'm going to have to give him my jacket.
Okay, all right.
Well,
you're going to leave Delco actually wearing a diaper.
There's a huge line of people there. Are they in the order that they arrived?
They are all in the order that they arrived, and we're down to our final few tickets.
All right, well, why don't you go ahead and hand those out now, and let's hear the magic phrase one more time, if you don't mind, from somebody who's nearby.
All right, let's hear the magic phrase, guys.
Hey, Pat, nobody puts Lottery Baby in the corner.
Oh.
That guy's got it.
Yeah, the other guy got it.
That's great. It's not Brent in the front and it's got it.
It's like when
what's the phrase? The phrase down there, but put in the corner.
When Preston talks and you repeat after Steve, that's exactly what that was. Say it.
Okay. Hey, no, asshat, right, nobody puts Lottery Baby in the corner.
Lottery Baby in the corner.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's close enough.
All right, so he's gonna run out of the tickets. If you're not, don't even go by.
Run.
We're gonna get out of there. Leave. But quickly before we say goodbye to Lottery Baby, we do have to reveal his identity today. It's our good friend Jake Matera.
Yeah.
Local stand up comedian. Lottery Baby Jake, do you have any gigs coming up soon you want to mention?
Actually, I'm gonna be at the Punchline next Friday night.
Yeah,
next Friday night.
There you go.
Excellent.
And actually, our next guest is going to be at Punchline, Nikki Glaser, this weekend. So we'll talk to her about that. But you'll be there next Friday. That's great, dude. Listen, we appreciate your help and going out and doing this ridiculous thing for us. But you might get $1 million out of it.
Hey, do you guys know if Acme sells dignity?
I don't think so.
I don't know. They got everything. It's the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. So. All right. Thank you, Jake. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. That's our Lottery Baby, Jake Matera.
Yes. He's great.
Hey, good morning. The morning of a big lottery jackpot, the Lottery Baby materializes. So he is there for us. All right.
dignity. Poor guy. All right, we've got to do the bizarre file, so let's get to that now.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Alrighty, it is brought to you this morning by Godshall's. When you buy bacon for your family, remember only Godshall's packs this much real wood smoked flavor with 80% less fat than pork bacon. Only Godshall's turkey bacon. In Michigan at a Best Buy, they got the surprise on Wednesday night when a special visitor came in. It was a 6-point buck and managed to follow a customer into the store. The team leader, Aaron Ellison, said it was wild.
Where are your HDMI cables?
Ellison had just happened to be near the front door. At the time, she said that she didn't realize what it was at first. She and the other Best Buy, the others in Best Buy quickly determined there was a deer running freely through the aisles. She said, we put some customers in our break room back in there.
Oh, they got to see what's in the break room.
They said there was a lot of screaming and havoc. The deer was running through the aisles.
Oh, well, a 6-point buck at a full clip?
It's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
It was knocking over items until it ended up in the back of the store. She said, we turned the fridges and used boxes and kind of gave him this aisle so that he wouldn't make it into the back into the store.
It was in a panic because it was looking for CDs and they no longer carry them.
Well, here's the deal. So it was, they have tile in the store, and she said the deer couldn't stand or move.
Wow.
Because it was trying to move and was slipping.
That's right. They do.
So it eventually sat down, she said, and that's when employees moved in and ushered the deer toward the back door.
I'm done.
Once on the carpet, he could stand again, and he went right out. There were no injuries to the deer or people in the incident.
You wonder where these places are, you know, how, you know, like across the parking lot. Though I shouldn't talk. We'll see deer in the parking lot right here.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And lately, the past month, every morning I see on minimum at least 5, and sometimes I see as many as a dozen.
In the rutting season now?
It might be rutting season. I'm not sure. So I'm bringing up this story because I think we're going to have somebody on from this particular team when we're in London next week. This happened in the UK. And an announcement was made that said, can the owner of a car blocking an emergency exit please speak to your nearest usher? Well, normally, the offending vehicle is not owned by the goalkeeper who happens to be playing in a soccer match the time. Dulwich keeper, his name is Preston Edwards, ignored the announcement the first 2 times that his car registration was read out over the public address system in Thursday night's match between Dulwich Hamlet and Premier League Crystal Palace, who I think we're going to have somebody on from that.
I think so, yeah.
And a game was set up as a fundraiser. However, when the third message stated that the car was being towed, he couldn't concentrate on the game. He's playing in the game, and they made an announcement. His car is blocking. He turns to the crowd behind him and shouted, "That's my car," which only resulted in chants. The crowd started chanting, "Preston, move your car. Preston, Preston, move your car."
And that's clever.
And eventually the car was safely moved by a member of the crowd. Edward said on Twitter, the first 2 times I ignored it, and the third time they mentioned it, getting towed, that's when I panicked. He said that he had parked the car in the incorrect place because he was running late and saw no spaces. But sadly for Edwards, his team conceded 5 goals in a 5-0 defeat, or 5-0 defeat against Palace.
Yeah, he was distracted.
Yeah. A group of employees in Southeast China have been publicly shamed by their boss for failing to meet their sales targets. Bizarre footage has emerged showing 30 male workers stripped down to their underwear and parading around the streets in the city, much to the surprise of nearby residents.
Where is this?
It's in China. They were sales associates of a gym and had failed to reach their expected profit.
So they marched them through the streets in their underwear.
They did that, yes.
Yelling shame?
The scantily clad men were forced to walk to do the walk of shame for failing to meet their sales quotas. Dressed only in their underwear, the embarrassed men were filmed briskly walking in a straight line on the street.
Wow.
And apparently the manager said, "I gladly accept the punishment handed to me by the company. Our female staff do not need to do the walk of shame. They are required to do push-ups as punishment instead," he added. "It's a good challenge for us, I think."
Okay.
According to the Article 88 of China's employment contract law, employers are not allowed to humiliate and give corporal punishment to workers, Chinese government said on its website. But the employers will be liable for compensation if any harm is done. But Chinese companies have been known for carrying out public humiliation rituals as punishment for... from crawling on the street to worm eating.
So this is in violation of their own laws.
It is, yes.
Okay.
But they do it anyway.
Sort of like, is it sort of like a morale? So it's something, I'm looking at the footage of the guys here. It seems like they're sort of, they're not totally browbeaten. It seems like they're sort of going along with it.
But it's intended to shame. It's a punishment.
Is
for,
it? Yeah.
For not reaching their goals. So that's what they're
should we do that here? For. Institute yeah. that here?
Mm-hmm. A man ate a Tide Pod and then destroyed $7,500 worth of hospital equipment during an out-of-control hospital rampage. Brandon McVeigh began yelling loudly while smashing four computer screens during treatment for swallowing the detergent capsule at Mercy Hospital. And his alleged spree of destruction began while hospital staff were treating him. They saw McVeigh trash both his own hospital room and a hallway, police said. McVeigh was finally brought under control when police arrived at the hospital, pinned him to the ground, and placed him under arrest.
Listen, you can't do that. You're a smart guy. You eat Tide Pods.
Report noted that the building was strewn with smashed computer equipment and debris. McVeigh was charged with second-degree criminal mischief. And earlier this year, of course, Procter & Gamble, who manufactured the capsules, issued a statement condemning the detergent swallowing trend referred to as the Tide Pod Challenge. I didn't know anybody was still doing that.
Yeah, it's a little after the fact, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, and then one more story, and we will wrap things up. Let's go with this one. A Louisiana man was jailed this week for allegedly bilking the federal government out of more than $500,000. Authorities said it's one of the biggest inside thefts ever committed at the U.S. Postal Service.
Jeez.
Ryan Cortez was arrested at the North Kenner Post Office, where he serves as customer service manager. Now, a complaint alleges that Cortez stole approximately $630,000 in stamps and sold them on eBay at discount prices.
$630,000 in stamps?
You know, how many stamps yeah. would that be? And he did so to support a gambling addiction.
Okay.
An investigation into Cortez was launched earlier this year. When
I have a stamp scheme in mind.
When PayPal and eBay notified federal authorities that he had been selling significant quantities of stamps, in at least one instance, 10,000 stamps with a face value of 50 cents each were sold for 38 cents each.
How much less exciting would Ocean's 11 have been if it was a stamp theft?
A subsequent investigation revealed that as manager Cortez had increased the post office reserve stamp stock by more than $600,000.
So what I need to know is what kind of storage. I mean, I'm thinking that's a F of a lot of stamps, right?
Yeah. They also found that he had made regular ATM withdrawals at Harrah's Casino in New Orleans.
Uh-huh.
Authorities said it was determined that he had gambled and lost more than $667,000 since 2011. His gambling losses from last year amount to more than $220,000, which is over three times his $70,000 annual postal salary.
Dear
postal
God.
Salary. Yeah, so.
Dear God.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
All right, and there you go. That is what I have in this morning's bizarre file. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back in a moment. Marissa Magnata is going to be in Dilworth Park tonight. It's Oktoberfest.
Huh.
She'll be there from 6 to 8, and it's a 5-day fall festival, and it continues until Sunday. You can enjoy the excitement of food, drinks, music from the Met Philadelphia stage and games. Stop by today from 11 to 9, tomorrow noon to 8, and Sunday noon to 6 to see what's going on. But Marissa will be there from 6 to 8 tonight.
Should be very
pretty,
cool.
Pretty awesome. So we thank those guys for coming by this morning. We'll take a break. Be back in a moment. Nikki Glaser should be here shortly. Stay with us.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
Our next guest back in our studio because she's going to be performing tonight and tomorrow at Punchline, and she returns off her whirlwind trip at Dancing with the Stars. By that, I mean she was the first person voted on.
Yeah, I'm going to explain to her why I think that's the way to play it.
Let's welcome Nikki Glaser.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, guys.
Nice
thank
to
you
see
for
you.
Having me. Yeah, I've been through a lot. I generally say I got first voted off.
Yes.
And so that is why I'm happy that I was first, because I have that joke now, but that's about the only reason. Why is it advantageous for me, Steve?
Because you get the invites back. You're part of the family. You don't have to have the inevitable ankle break that'll occur in like the seventh or eighth week. Everyone has these severe injuries, but you get most of the perks.
Mm.
Does anybody really remember the winners from years past?
No,
I
one
tend
remembers.
To remember the people that get voted off quickly over the people who win.
Oh, well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And you know what? Another thing is they haven't reached out to me since I left.
No,
so
kidding.
No one's really interested in having me back.
See, that's the thing.
Well, I have to go back for the finale, and I don't even know that they really want me there for that either.
No, you have to go back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I do. I will go back. I will dance again. I will dance again.
I would say this before, Casey. Just first off, You looked great.
Thank you.
I think it's a Herculean chore because you freely admitted right from the get-go you have no dancing ability, right?
Yeah.
And you, they always do this thing where they pair people up who are freely admitting, I'm absolutely incapable of dancing, with people who do dance or dance-ish type things as a profession, which is dramatically unfair.
You mean the other stars on the show
yes.
have been backup dancers for yes. Beyonce and yeah, right. yeah. yeah, literally are pop star singers who dance on stages all the time. Oh, no, don't you dare put this up. Oh, this
you
I haven't
so
even
good.
Watched it yet. Oh, God, I can't watch. I can't wait.
Does she
thing,
not
though.
Look great? You look great.
She looks
you.
Awesome. Hold on,
I was so injured, can I tell you?
Were
I was
you?
Deep. I couldn't move my arm at all. Oh, look at that. That is a great. If I could have just stayed
hot.
Like that, that last pose. Oh, no, this again. my second dance. So I couldn't move. I injured my arm on. Oh, I messed up that move. I injured my
all right,
arm.
Take the
on,
video
I,
off.
I'm
because,
getting distracted because
yeah.
I just can't even relive that. It was just
oh,
so.
Man.
It was so because- hard. Emotionally, physically, I got so injured 3 days before I went live on TV. And it was only because I was learning the third dance, which I never even got to perform.
Yeah.
And these guys had to lift me up and I wasn't prepared. And they just lifted my arm in a weird way. I tore part of my back.
What?
And I was that the morning I did the first dance, I woke up and I couldn't even put on a sports bra. My friend had to come in my room and I was crying on my bed going, I can't move. I can't move. And I didn't know what to do. Because I had to dance live that night. There was no protocol for this. I was telling the producers, what do I do? And they're like,
right.
We'll just see. And I'm in the makeup chair getting ready. And I go, I can't move. I don't know what to do. And then everyone was kind of like, listen, just pretend like you can. And so I just started talking to myself like, you have to get through this. And I just willed it, and I just suffered through the pain.
My guess
pain.
Is, Nikki, and this is they always do this. Now, I jump in and out of the show. We were naturally attracted to the show initially on because they are all the regular stock dancers are super attractive.
Yes.
And so that's part of the deal. But yes,
me too.
And the guy you were dancing with, Gleb Savchenko.
Gleb Savchenko is as hot as his name is disgusting. That is what.
Gleb.
Gleb.
I think Gleb is a horrible. But I think what they want you to be broken. It's uh-huh. it's like Paris Island. They want you to go through that emotional thing because that's what plays well on television. They want to see you huddled over in the dance studio, and they milk that. So that's got to be the modus operandi for the whole thing, right?
I agree. They really did want they loved when I cried, you know, and I cried a lot because during practices up until I was voted off immediately, but I spent a lot of time on that show. It's like a month of practice every single day, 4 hours a day, and it's really grueling. I really loved it, but there were days where I just would cry so much because I don't do things I'm not good at. I run away from things I'm not good at, and I had to run towards this thing I'm terrible at, and I had to do it 4 hours a day. And I don't mean I'm just a bad dancer. I'm really actively terrible. I'm one of the worst. I felt like I would be on the short bus going, if there was a dance school, I would be taken out and given Jeez. Special class.
Wow. Yeah. So
and
I hear
let
you.
Let me just say, I was eliminated first on a show that had a blind woman dancing.
Oh my
so
God.
I am terrible. And my dance partner would when we first started, he was like, there's no, you're not bad. There's no way. Cause you look at me and you go, okay, she could probably dance.
Yeah.
I'm pretty physically fit and I look like a dancer, but he couldn't believe he would get so frustrated, he would just walk out of the dance studio and he couldn't get mad at me because he said, I've never worked with someone who tries so hard and who wants to work so hard. Aww. But he was
but
like,
that's what I was going to say. Your routine. So I've been a salsa dancer for
really?
Years, and that's what you
She's
did.
Good.
You
She's
did,
good.
You did salsa. You there have been contestants that got voted off first. I forget the rapper's name, but he didn't try. You can see that you're trying there, which a lot of times on the show, because I've watched it for years, they do take that into consideration. You didn't just go out there and whatever. You tried.
I tried so hard. Thank you for acknowledging that. I thought you were going to say I was good, but that never really came out of your mouth. But I really appreciate that you saw my effort. Throughout my life, I have always been given the most dedicated performer award, the most improved. There's never been like just good out of the gate.
Great penmanship.
You know, MVPs,
yeah.
Huh?
I was like, yeah. Is there an attendance award for Dancing with the Stars? Because I think I've showed up to every practice.
So I need to bring this up because I think there's got to be a little bit of conspiracy here. I don't think you were voted off. I think you're interview with Tom Bergeron was the reason that you were, and it's not fair, all right? Because
Thank you
Casey. Said the term rough sets.
Yes.
Okay.
Casey, I was terrified of saying anything wrong on the show because I know that everyone was very nervous. She's a sex comic. That's her thing. And I was on ABC and I go, I'm going to play by the rules. I want to last on the show. I want to play by their rules.
Yes.
So I even approached Tom Bergeron before that interview because you get interviewed live on air. And I go, what are you going to ask me so I can come up with something funny to say that's clean? Uh-huh. And he goes, I don't know what I'm going to ask you. And I was like, come give me something, Tom. But I went out there and he said, you know, what about stand-up comedy? Doing stand-up comedy has prepared you for dancing. And I said, well, you know, and I'm just like talking through trying to stumble upon something funny. And I'm like, you know, I faced a lot of rejection. I've had a lot of rough sets, and which rough sets is like a I didn't realize it wasn't a thing that most people
in the
are,
common vernacular, they don't get. We would have gotten it instantly.
It's comic jargon. And it just, and everyone started laughing kind of nervously. And I looked around and I was like, what did I say that was funny? Like, I just stumbled into it. And then Tom kind of walks away from me like, oh, I don't think that's what she meant. And then I leaned into it and I go, oh, I've had both. You know, like, I was thirsty for a punchline. And I think me leaning into it.
I liked it.
It definitely, I think, didn't help. and I wish that I would have said something different in that moment, and I could still be dancing right now. But
listen, you got to remember there. People like Marie Osmond fainted during one of those interviews.
Should have done
so
that.
So it's and that worked. You should have passed out.
You should have passed out. Right after you said that.
There's so many strategies you try to think about with the other stars of what works, and these dancers have been doing the show for, you know, some of them 20 seasons. This has been on 27 seasons, so everyone knows what works, what doesn't. And I was trying to toe the line, and all I could do was try my best, and I really did try hard, and I got injured. And if I was still in the competition, though, I would be so gravely injured at this point.
Well, I'll tell you this.
I can't even imagine.
You looked phenomenal.
Thank you.
You did your best. Now, I have to ask you, I don't know what your relationship status is.
I did not bang my dancer.
Okay.
He's married, but everyone, if he wasn't married, I would have definitely tried.
There's something. You guys have something.
We had something. I love that man, but here's the thing is, like, I was surrounded by the hottest guys. All these guy dancers, they're just walking around shirtless and sweaty all day. You hang out in this dance studio where everyone's practicing. It was the best time of my life to be dancing and like getting so much attention because they're stuck with like whoever they're given.
Yeah, yeah.
So like generally they would be talking to hotter girls, but like I'm all they have. And so they would just like, I get all this attention from these hot guys. It was a make-a-wish. I think now I have to kill myself.
Nikki Glaser's make-a-wish.
Yeah.
So years ago I was the Cuervo ambassador and they sent me down to Tortola, right? And all on Cuervo's dime, fed me tequila, and they hire models to do everything for you, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing, except they had zero interest, but they had to pretend like they liked me.
Right. No, these guys really definitely nice. do not have interest. Like, I am way too, they're all young, hot Russians, and but I was turned on the entire month. I've been voted off for 3 weeks now, and I'm still drying out. I gotta be honest. I was saturated.
It took its toll. Yeah, wow, man. We get it. The women on the show, it's the same. It's the same.
I mean, and the girls. That's another thing. That, wrecked my self-esteem, looking at these beautiful women constantly.
You're too hard on yourself, because I'll tell you something else. What I loved, you did the Bruce Willis roast.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there's all sorts of issues with that. They have to, you know, those Comedy Central roasts, a real roast, people know the roastie, and they come in and do the deal. But you came in the right way. I don't know if you know Bruce Willis or not, but you came in guns blazing. And I'm watching this thing. Man, this stinks. This is not good. And then you got up, and you just started, and everyone's eyes are opening up. And I even tweeted out immediately. It's like, you find, like, Nikki Glaser just brought this back to life.
Oh, thank
you. Yeah, because it was, you know what I'm talking about with these roasts, right?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about. You know, they have Joseph Gordon-Levitt emceeing it, which he's a huge star and a lovely person, but not a comedian. So he opens the show and you're just like, when's this going to really get mean? When's the stage going to be set for what's about to happen? And I think that's why they put someone like me
up front to kind of break it open.
Well, you did, and first, and it was great because you had this beautiful dress on, gown, I guess, and very, very revealing. You come up, yeah. you look modelly,
yeah.
The line you did where you could hear a collective gasp from the audience that howling at. You were talking to Kevin Pollak.
Oh yeah,
and you said you do a great Robin Williams impression. Now, if only you could complete it.
Yeah. And I said, all I'm saying is we've lost a lot of greats this year to suicide, and it's time to lose some okays. And it was, yeah.
But that's what they're about,
those
things.
That was a rough
things.
Joke.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I wrote that joke, and it just, I'm so proud of that joke, and it's so dark and weird.
Yeah.
And I'm telling Kevin Pollak to kill himself. It's awful. Everything about it is not good, and I can't stand
it. But that's the nature of a roast.
That's the nature of the roast is just to go as hard as you can.
Right.
All right, so do you do the roast battles? Because I will hear those. And that, like, from what I understand, is, like, you're going against sometimes people you don't know, and you are looking up information, like, the worst things you can say to these people,
yeah.
right?
I judged Roast Battle for Comedy Central, and I would watch roasts and be like, I can't believe what they're going after about yeah. these people. I couldn't do it. There were definitely topics and jokes that I wrote that I didn't do because they were just too mean.
But, you know, the thing is that, and in the classic case, that's why the dynamic of going as hard as you can works when you know the person and it's from a place of love,
yep.
right? So when you don't know the person and you're saying that stuff, then it's like, what the F?
I know, and everyone goes, why is this girl, you know, there's a lot of like, who is this person, and why is she related to Bruce Willis? And it's like, well, because he doesn't have any friends who wanted to do this. He didn't make enough good connections when he did movies where right. people wanted to show up. And, by the way, movie stars aren't funny, so they gotta put some comedians on, and Bruce Willis isn't yeah. friends with comedians.
And they write stuff for so many of them anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
Nikki, do you ever wish that those weren't televised, that you could just get away with a roast without having to worry about the audience that's on the other side of the camera?
No, because I feel like I say anytime I'm doing anything, I have a feeling that it'll get tweeted, something I said. So I watch what I say constantly.
Even in the club?
Actually, not in the club. So a lot of times I'll leave the club and I'll be like, this is just between us, right? Because I will have revealed something that I'm like, if this gets out, it will ruin me and everyone involved.
That's why I asked, because I do believe
right.
in the sanctity of the club versus mm-hmm. a televised roast. And I wish that sometimes you could get away with the stuff on the roast that you can get away with in the club.
Right. Yeah. I do wish that I could get rid of, not even on roasting, but just if I put out a special, some of the stuff that I work on in clubs where that doesn't leave this room. Because I really do feel, you're right. Like, I feel like we're a group of friends.
It's intimacy.
But you know what? You lose that, though.
I begged audience. I go, please, please be cool, you guys. You guys are here. I didn't mean to say that. You know something about me now. Please be cool. And they'll tweet at me later. Like, one time I was talking about Dancing with the Stars, and I said something that I shouldn't have said, like revealed something, and I just begged them afterwards, and then I got a tweet that the girl watching was from ABC News, and I was like, oh no, but she was cool.
Yeah.
It didn't get
okay.
out. And it's nothing like crazy, but you know, you just
your entire career has been, you know, you're a boundary pusher, and that's
yeah.
cool, so people sort of know that from, but it never comes across that you are being just wantonly malicious for no reason. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're going for it. You're doing a classic. You're doing what a comedian who takes your genre of comedy is supposed to do. I think people get that.
I think that I just try to lead with my... I just try to be honest. And I've done enough work on myself where I know I'm not a bad person.
Right,
so if
right.
I say something that's taken the wrong way, I will apologize for it. I'm not above apologizing for a joke that offends someone in a deep way.
Right.
But I know that I'm not a bad person. So anything coming out of my mouth is probably not going to be that bad.
I think it also stings a little extra, and it's kind of a cool juxtaposition. You have a very attractive woman up there who just unleashes on, and you can see people go, oh, this is going to be pleasant.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you start going, and you could just see the face, like Cybill Shepherd. But Cybill Shepherd seemed to be pretty cool.
She was so
She seemed
cool.
to be cool.
I thought she was going to be the mean one out yeah. of her and Martha. I thought, you know, Martha has done this before.
Yeah.
But Martha wasn't that
kind. Like, she wasn't, really? she was pretty cold backstage. Yeah. And so I decided to do a joke that it wasn't even in the prompter for me to do, but I had just had an interaction with her backstage where I was like, oh, she doesn't seem that friendly. I'm going to go a little harder on her and let her know how I feel. And then Sybil couldn't have been sweeter. And it's so much of that, the roasts are about reaction shots.
Yes.
You know, to what you do after you get a joke said about you. And Sybil just had the best faces of like, whoa. Like, she just like, she was so hilarious. And I had a great time. I sat next to Edward Norton during the roast, and that was another just gift, because we just talked so much trash.
Oh, that's cool.
During commercial break, and just we really broed down. It was so fun.
Nick mentioned the sanctity of the club, so I want to make sure that people know where they can see Nikki if you're just tuning in. Nikki Glaser is here, and she'll be performing at Punchline tonight and tomorrow. And I love the name of your tour. It's This Is All Leading to a Netflix Special.
Yeah.
That's the name of the tour. And you have a gentleman here with you. This is Andrew Collin,
this is
right?
Andrew Collin. He's opening for me. I have a show on Sirius Radio, and he is on it quite often. And he's, we call him Puddle Boy because he makes girls puddle.
All day.
And, wow.
That's
really.
All the people need to know.
No.
You look familiar to me, though. Have you done anything?
I might have walked your dog.
Okay. Yeah, he started out as my dog.
Listen, don't you knock it. It's a valuable industry.
No, I still do it.
Yeah.
Actually.
Still.
Oh, do you? Yeah, I do. Don't think I'm successful because I'm here.
No, he definitely isn't and doesn't deserve your respect. But that's kind of our dynamic. He started as my dog walker, and now he's on my radio show and sometimes opens for
Before
me.
Before we crack the neck, Nikki goes, you don't need to acknowledge him at all.
Yeah, I really, I hope you didn't. I didn't want him to have this glory. He'll be like skipping the rest of the day because of his one sentence he said on
this
air.
This is like the most symbiotic, dom and submissive relationship I've ever seen.
I know. I'm so mean to him.
Oh, are you guys talking about me?
Yeah.
So doing the stuff and doing your own show. Are you digging it?
I really am digging it. I've done this so much going into radio shows and being on the other side of it.
Right.
I get now a sense of it's hard on your end. You have to really sometimes you get real duds up in the studio. Can you guys have any tips for me?
Yes.
Of when someone is just so boring.
They're not giving you anything.
Yeah, and they're one word answers, or you're just not even that interested.
You have
here's what you've got to do. You have to be ready for every guest to suck. Okay, and if you are ready in that regard, if you're looking forward to a great interview, man, this is going to be great. You're only going to be disappointed if it goes bad. So if you're prepared that we may not get much out of this, then it can turn out to be
like this is what we have. This is what I have on you. So stuff, all that written down.
Wow.
So you have all that. A, but B, we know you're great. So that's just a safety net. Well, but also keep people in the studio. And we always say we call it going internal, which is okay. You suck. So we're just going to talk to each other.
Yeah.
And you can jump in now. You know. So so that's the dynamic. But I mean, the thing is that it is the ultimate relationship. We want you to do well. We want you. You know, and that's. It's so weird, though. A lot of times you'll get people who just don't seem to get it. We're going to provide a platform, but the one thing we won't do is take people who are listening to the show and make them collateral damage because the guest doesn't want to give us anything, you know?
Yes.
I remember one time we had, it was years ago, we had Vincent D'Onofrio on, and he was calling in to do something. He just sounded completely disinterested. Oh. And we're about 3-4 minutes into the interview, and I just go, do you not like doing this? And he's like, what? You know, promoting stuff. You're not really into this. And then he switched turn.
Yeah.
Like,
boom, boom,
boom. And then he started giving us what we wanted because he just seemed absolutely disinterested. You know?
I would love.
So you can call him out on it.
I love that. I'm going
to
steal that.
So we are here to help you promote what you're promoting.
Yeah.
This is your chance, you know?
Yeah, that's the part of the job I don't like. But it is definitely different being on the other side. But it's so fun to just get to talk every morning for so long. It just gets you creatively.
It's therapy.
I'm way more interesting on stage. I've stumbled upon things in radio that I bring to stage. It is therapy. Yeah,
Steve's right about that. You can open up here with the microphones and have this discussion you might not do elsewhere. It's kind of a cool thing.
I totally forget people are listening.
Oh, yeah.
It's so much more intimate. Like, if they're either listening on headphones or in their car alone, like, you really have a relationship. I listen to radio. I love radio. And you do feel closer to those people that you listen to than watching people on TV.
It's the greatest gift, honest, when we go out to events. We love going out and meeting people. Yeah. And they come up. And we're all sharing our mornings together. And that for all the years when I was like driving to a job that I didn't like, there was the radio show I was listening to that got me through. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So and then to be able to do that reciprocally is an honor. So, and you're getting to do it.
I feel it. You know, you feel it from people who write in and say, like, I hate my job, but every morning I look forward to listening to you on the way. And I've been there too, so I totally get
it. It's awesome, yeah.
It is really fun. But yeah, I'm still having fun doing stand-up. The shows this weekend are selling really well. I really implore people to get tickets now because they're gonna sell out. I'm doing over an hour of material. You can come see me Friday and Saturday and see a kind of different show if you want.
You're
two
awesome.
Shows each night, by the way, 7:30 and 9:45.
Yes, so. Nikki's very funny.
I am one of the funniest out there right now.
And
I gotta
by the way,
say.
just to back it up, if guys think this is all like strictly this is not this is a guy's mm-hmm. there's a guy's girl here who can get behind the lines information.
Yes.
That'll help you in your dating life and everything else. Yeah.
That is exactly what I was going to say. If you bring a date to my show, people bang after my shows more than any other comedian. I get people writing me like, we were so turned on after your show. And it's not like I'm trying to get you turned on, but I talk a lot about sex and I want everyone to be having it. So I bet you will get laid if you bring a date to my show.
Wow. Absolutely.
It'll just get her all juiced up and ready to go. I'm sorry that's
And you
gross.
Have Puddle Boy with you.
And I got Puddle Boy. Yeah. He's going to set the stage.
Nikki, last time you were here, you were telling us about your sex preferences, I guess, if you mm-hmm. will. And are you seeing anybody right now?
Yeah, I'm banging my ex.
You're banging
your ex? I'm getting a stuffing from him every time I get out to the West Coast.
So I was reading recently that it's not really anything to be embarrassed about, and it's not necessarily a bad thing to go do.
Wait,
that.
Were you
so have fun
to go back to your ex?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I think that I keep going back to him. We've been together off and on for 5-6 years now. We've broken up 7 times in 6 years, so I have no girlfriends left. They don't want to be friends with me anymore.
Are girls afraid to be friends with you?
No.
Okay. Because you're a girl, and you're a guy's girl.
I mean, you've both.
Yeah.
But you don't have any girlfriends because they got tired of there she goes again.
Exactly. They said it starts to be like an intervention style thing where they hold letters and shake, and they're like, if you go back to him, I can't support you anymore, Nikki. You know, like I walk into the room, they're all in the circle, and I'm like, oh, here we go again.
This isn't the farm boy, is it?
What is
it? Is it the farm guy?
Is this the farm guy?
Farm guy.
All right,
yeah,
so we
were dating a farmer last time.
What?
No, maybe it was a different comedian who was dating. It was a long distance relationship, and she was dating somebody who was a farmer.
That
and like,
sounds like me, but it wasn't me. But the last time I was here, I had a vibrator in my purse.
Yes, and we had vibrators.
Yes, we're racing vibrators, and I just happened to have one in my purse because I had hooked up with a guy like a couple nights before coming here. At a hotel, I had just gotten out of this relationship for the 7th time or whatever, and I threw myself onto these dating apps. I go on my first dating app date. I meet this guy. We have one date, and I'm like, I'd do it. You know, like where you just like, no, and you're like,
sure.
Yeah, I'd have sex with this person.
Sure.
And so the second night that we went out, we go back to his hotel, and I'm like, I could be convinced, you know? And then I get to a point where I'm like, okay, we'll have sex. And so he's looking for a condom, and he can't find one. And he's digging through his bags the same way I dig through a bag when I, like, know there's a tampon somewhere. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I know I have one. There's got to be, like, one open somewhere at the bottom of my backpack. So he's digging around, looking, trying to maintain what he has going on. And he's feverishly looking. And I go, if you find one, I'll have sex with you. If you find one, I will have sex with you. Like, that was the thing. Because I was like, there's no way he's going to find one.
Right.
He's been looking for so long. And this would be my first time having sex outside of my relationship for 5 years. Like,
wow.
With a new person. It was big to me. And then I realized when I said that, and I kind of didn't want to have sex. I got to be honest. But I was like, if you find one, though, that means God's telling me or whatever I believe in.
It was religious.
It was religious. And I'm not religious. But it was like, there's some other power saying you need to get banged out tonight. And so as I said that, and I go, he's not going to find one. And then I realized there's a sex kit like there's a sex kit next to the Pringles.
Right.
This is a nice hotel.
Yeah, you're right.
Pop chips and then a sex kit.
Yeah.
And I go, hey, what was his name? Kyle. I was like, Kyle, I go, there's a condom in the sex kit. And he's like, what? And he like leaps for it and like rips it open and gets the condom out and is like so excited. And I guess, well, this is what's happening. And then he lost his erection and couldn't get it back. And I was like, yeah, I don't have that. thanks, Al. And he, of course, was freaking out about it. He's a very hot young guy, and this doesn't happen a lot and all of those things. And I believe him.
Yeah.
It was just very nervous and looking for the condom. And but that I was so happy that I didn't have to have sex.
You impressed.
I know I didn't have to have it.
You impressed me because you did it one time. You actually.
Right.
It was just a deal I made with God and myself.
You didn't have to have it. You had a friend of yours that you put on a lie detector, and I think you probably I think your guy friends probably at some point fall in love with you a bit, don't they? Because you put your friend on the lie detector.
He's going no, Anderson.
No, I'm good.
No, I'm good. How dare you?
The more you get to know her, it's just like,
it just kills it. It just kills it.
Yeah, listen, yeah. I definitely like make it so like you're not attracted to me. So like let's be clear. Like I'll just be really gross in front of my guy friends just to set a boundary of like I want to take any kind of sexual attraction you may have for me and throw it out the window.
It works.
It works.
How dare you?
Andrew says it works. Yeah.
Wow. Like, what have I done?
Balcony.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Andrew hangs out at my apartment, like, every day. He used to walk my dogs, and he would just linger afterwards. Yeah. And I have a balcony, and we would always go out on the balcony and hang out. And then it got cold in the winter, and when I would have to, like, go do a number two, I would go, Andrew, balcony. And I'd send him to the balcony so he can't hear or do
that's
anything.
Courteous.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's funny. Actually nice.
Yeah. Balcony.
I would appreciate that. Yeah, so I could jump Andrew. Off. Actually. Right.
Oh, yeah. My God. You're
like,
second floor.
Like a capuchin monkey going out to the...
By the way, follow Andrew, as well as Nikki, on Instagram, though, because he posts these pictures of him.
Andrew's so funny.
Recreating, like, hot girl photos. Actually, all kinds of pictures. There's one that you did with Conor McGregor who had an erection.
Yeah.
That you...
That Instagram made him take it down.
Instagram took it down.
When Andrew did it, it was like, they were like, this is disgusting.
These are hilarious. And you drew with an ink pen tattoos on you like Conor McGregor's
no,
body.
No, like Post Malone. He did on Conor McGregor. Yeah.
He did Post Malone face tattoos?
He did a face tattoo. And I go, I hope this idiot did that with a Sharpie and he doesn't realize how hard Sharpie is to get off. And then I go, Andrew, how hard was that? He goes, I couldn't leave my house for a day. Just for an Instagram photo.
So
but he really puts himself out there.
And I love it. Andrew T. Collin, if you want to follow him. And
he's
you can
hilarious.
Go see him because he's opening up for Nikki. You guys are playing Punchline tonight and tomorrow. Two shows, 7:30 and 9:45. Yeah.
Get tickets now.
We could spend all morning talking to you, but we do have some other guests we got to get in here.
I know.
So
I have
you.
So much fun here. Thank you guys for having
Wonderful
me.
Wonderful to see you.
Yeah.
It's here for Andrew and Nikki Glaser.
Yeah. Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We have some live music in our studio next. Barnes Courtney will be performing. He is at the Fillmore tonight, by the way, and he'll be in here to perform. We also have writer and director Peter Hedges, who did About a Boy, and this new film is called Ben Is Back.
Yeah, with Julia Roberts.
He'll be in here this morning, too. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We love making new friends, meeting new people, and that's what we're about to do right now.
Yeah.
And maybe turn you on to some new music. And the best way to do that is have it played live, in my personal opinion, I think. That's when I really am impressed. And I've sampled just a little bit of this gentleman's music, and I'm excited to hear more about it. He is playing tonight at the Fillmore. Please welcome to our studio, Mr. Barnes Courtney.
Yeah.
Morning, Barnes.
Morning. How you doing?
We're doing good, man. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me. This place is fancy.
Thank you, sir.
We try.
Yeah.
Not by our own doing. They just gave it to us.
You have so many lights. Are you guys hot in here?
We wanted to make you feel, you love being on stage. I was reading you love touring. It never gets old to you.
No. I also love that you have an enormous 10x10 picture of me on the wall. Just as I request. I'm not doing the interview unless there's an enormous photograph of my face. Is everyone looking?
You get it?
Everyone, please look at the picture, but don't look at Barnes directly in the eyes.
Do you want us to bring the lights down? You want us to set the mood for you? Because we can do that.
That sounds pretty saucy.
All right.
Oh, you guys are actually doing it.
We can do everything. Yeah.
Wow, there's so much power in here. Get this budget.
Listen, Barnes, I'm excited to become more familiar with your music. As I said at the top, I'm not, but three things that I know you can do. You can sing, you can play, and you can write. And I'm very impressed with your vocal capability. So I was reading up a little bit on you, and I had read, I think it was where, as a younger musician, you wanted to really try to have a high range when you sang, but you felt that you were kind of forcing it, and then you settled into what was more natural to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, from a young age, my father used to lock me in the coal shed until I could produce notes of a certain pitch so that I could sing for halfpennies on the streets of Ipswich, where I spend my youth.
Wow.
Really?
And it was sick.
There's a movie in there. Yeah.
Sorry, that's a complete lie.
Really?
I was super...
You were the youngest of 15.
It was very difficult. My father was a cold and calculated man. He used to brush my hair from the left-hand side every morning as he would mutter insults under his breath.
Wow.
That's
just a tragic life.
I like you a lot.
It's that tragic tale that really led to my music.
Oh, my place. God. What an inspiring story. There's a movie from Disney in this.
Yes.
You
responded my emails.
Originally, you're from London?
I'm from just outside Aylesbury, but I grew up in Seattle, so okay. I missed out on the sexy accent.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I can
put
it on, though, if I need to.
You have an appreciation of coffee.
I do. I do like coffee. I like being awake and cognizant of the world.
We're going to London next week. We're doing our show from there. And really? For most of us, it's a first time in London. And do you ever go back? I mean, do you still have family there?
No, I'm not allowed back.
Not allowed back anymore.
Not since the accident, no.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, but I don't want to talk about it here, you know.
I understand.
You burned down the Courtney estate.
We don't want to pry.
Yeah. They are not fans of me in the Courtney Manor anymore.
Courtney Manor.
Courtney Manor. And on the fourth day, on the fifth moon, young Barnabas did burn down the Courtney Manor, and the stuffed giraffes were ruined. All the children cried in their nightgowns.
Wow.
I love it.
This
and then
is
he fled to Seattle.
Yeah. Okay, I don't even know where to go.
I don't need to be honest. I've really digressed away from.
It's all good. I appreciate it. Some people don't say anything. I love this stream of consciousness that we're getting from you.
We'll take this, absolutely.
You actually have a connection to our last guest, Nikki Glaser, the comedian who was in here earlier. She was on Dancing with the Stars. Your songs made it onto the show. Was that this season?
I saw that. My mom posted it on Facebook. I was like, oh my God. Why didn't I think to have two enormous muscular men clapping in time in my music video? I was just walking down the street playing an acoustic guitar. I was like looking at that thinking, God, that is very, very arousing. And I need to think about that more in my future work.
So that'll be the muse for you from now on, muscular men dancing.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I've really turned a corner in my career. That's very modern, what I do now. It's pushing boundaries.
Right, we love it.
It really is.
I want people to hear your voice. I want them to hear you sing and play. And by the way, you have an accompaniment here. This is Agam, is your keyboard player?
This is Agam. I don't actually know him, but he seemed pretty nice. He's got his own Casio.
Right. What are you guys going to play for us?
I'm going to play 99, which is my new single, Shameless Plug. I guess I'll just play it now.
I'll introduce you.
Sorry, I was going to...
You were wrestling off for
so
a moment.
Used to introducing myself.
No. He'll be playing tonight, ladies and gentlemen, at the Fillmore, and this is 99 from Barnes Courtney on MMR.
Hot, strong, young, and dumb, yeah, we had no fear. Way back when we said we'd both be millionaires. Now those days are over, and we're all ghosts. We used to sleep all day, talk all night, stay up by the TV light, oh. Baby teeth ain't milky white. Wipe the stardust from your eyes. Oh, said, come on, love, we'll be just fine. We're gonna live just like it's 1999. In 1990. In 1990.
1999, back then we were trading cars behind the swings. Oh no, now it's money, gold and diamond rings. Now those days are over, and we're all ghosts. We used to sleep all day, talk all night, stay up by the TV light. Oh, wipe the stardust from your eyes. Oh, said, oh, come on, love will be just fine. We're gonna live just like it's 1999. Tonight, oh, oh no, where does it go? Well, whatever fill your body up with chemicals. Oh, oh no, kaleidoscopes. Well, whatever living better in, oh, oh, in 1990.
That's awesome.
You're just joining us. That is Barnes Courtney, who's going to be playing at the Fillmore tonight. Tickets available at the FillmorePhilly.com. So while you were playing that song, I spoke to Casey over here, our producer, Barnes, because
you were listening to me, but that's cool.
I was listening, but I had to take a moment.
So it's fine. It's fine. It's all right. You got to pay your dues. I get it. I get it.
No, I was listening to the keyboard sound that Agam was playing, and we play a game here called Name That Song in 8 Bits, and it uses that particular 8-bit video game
sound
effects.
Yeah.
Do you want to play one real quick and see if you can? He should be able to hear everything we play in the headphones, right? Yeah. All right. I'm going to play a song for you. See if you can identify what this is.
Oh, God. Okay? I didn't know this would be a test.
It's a test. All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
She's a good girl.
Ah, he's a pro.
Oh, man.
Congratulations.
What a dude, Tom Petty.
Yeah. You have just won yourself a digital download of Ant-Man and the Wasp. It's available
no
now.
No way.
Digitally on 4K Ultra HD.
It's all coming
DVD
up, Bugsy.
All right, let's try another one. All right.
There's more?
Yeah. Let's try another one. Here we go. Listen.
Okay, yeah. So I'm gonna be the man who's coming home to you.
Yes, you got that right.
I'm really ginger, and I've got a brother here, and he's also equally as ginger as me.
Case, what do we have for him?
We've got a case of Yards Rival IPA right now.
Am I actually winning? Is this real?
We'll give it to you.
Just being sarcastic right now?
This is actually the citizenship test you never took. Sorry.
Right, should we do one more?
One more.
Oh, yes. Case, which one should we?
You know what? The one that you have, I love.
Okay. All right. Let's try this. Last one for Barnes.
Oh, I know this song. Oh, I should have just quit while I was ahead. I know the tune, but I can't place it in my brain.
Yeah, I'll give you the artist.
Hold on. The melody should be kicking in. Right here, I think. There we go.
I got nothing.
Know that one.
I know it. It's a very good song.
Peter Gabriel? Yeah. Peter Gabriel.
The name of the song is Salisbury Hill.
Oh, God. I can't believe I didn't get Peter Gabriel. I got the Pretenders, but I didn't get Peter Gabriel.
That's incorrect. I'm sorry, Barnes. You didn't get it right.
We're going to have to take back the download and the beer.
Yeah. Oh, man. What was I going to win? That was like a Prius, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, that was... It was. Yeah. And unfortunately,
I can't believe it. I know that song.
That's all right.
It's because you brought me in here like early in the morning. You did it deliberately, didn't you? Just to shame me in front of all these people on the radio.
You didn't get a chance to, you know, get ready for it and practice.
I'm a musician. I'm not meant to be up at these hours.
I understand that.
Fundamentally against our DNA.
I wanted to ask you about writing because I was reading an article in Rolling Stone about you that said you have a difficult writing while you're you have a difficult time writing when you're happy. It's better when there are things going on in your life.
That's why I pay a troupe of men to sort of beat me consistently in the studio.
You want to be in a constant state of misery.
Yeah, exactly. Blunt objects mainly. things they find outside in the street. Sticks, stones.
Yeah.
But the songs are... Doorknobs in a sack.
Doorknobs in a sack.
To keep me on my toes, you know? I don't want to get too comfortable.
Oranges in a sock.
Yeah, it's surprising that you're going with doorknobs instead of something a little bit more malleable.
Listen, I don't tell them how to do their jobs, okay?
Hey, we're the professional beaters. Let us do what we do.
Are you an only child?
Me?
Yeah.
No, what makes you say that?
Because only childs are usually weird.
No, I think I was dropped a lot as a baby.
Oh, okay. I was just trying to get the root of it all. No, you have a great sense of humor.
That's what I keep telling everybody. I don't believe you.
Does that help things keep things light when you're on the road? You just try to have a good time?
It does sort of quell the crippling depression that plagued me from a young age. I didn't know we were going to bring that up for this interview.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, we're just trying to get you a wound.
Maybe it's inspiring you to write a new song.
Possibly. You okay. never know.
All right, so what's another song you're going to play for us this morning?
Wait, I have to play two?
Yes, it's two. Oh, now God, do
I
it.
I got the one. I thought that was the deal.
We got a sack of doorknobs right out there ready to go.
All right, I'll play Fire.
All right,
which
Fire.
Which is a song of mine that I wrote.
Okay.
With my mind.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is Barnes Courtney.
Yeah.
Lonely shadows following me, lonely ghosts come a-calling, lonely voices talking to me, now I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. My mother told me, son, let it be, sold my soul to the calling. Sold my soul to a sweet melody. Now I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. Lord, give me that fire. Lord, give me that fire. Lord, give me that fire. Burn, burn, burn. Oh, a thousand faces staring at me. Thousand times I've fallen, a thousand faces dead at my feet. Now I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. My mother told me, son, let it be. Sold my soul to the calling. Sold my soul to a sweet melody. Now I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. Lord, give me that fire. Lord, give me that fire. Lord, give me that fire. Burn, burn, burn. Ghosts and devils come a-calling, calling my name out. Lost in the fire. See, Virginia blood is calling, calling my name out. Lost in the fire. Lord, give me that fire. Lord, give me that fire. Lord, give me that fire.
Yeah, man. Awesome. Wow. Fire. Such a great sound.
Barnes Courtney, who is in our studio, and I didn't talk once during your performance that time.
Nice of you. Thank you.
Well, no. You won us over with the first song. We figured we'd be listening to the full second one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He got my attention. That's By the way, I got a text that says, thank you. Now I have to go home and change my panties.
Wow.
That was me.
Oh, okay. Wow, you can text and play at the same time.
Thanks for finally replying to my messages. Sending you them for over 12 months now.
How long have you been? Has this current tour been underway? Have you been doing the long haul?
Yeah, I've been doing this for 2 weeks now with the Wombats.
Okay.
Which has been wonderful.
That's excellent.
I like the Wombats. Lemon to a Knife Fight is a really, really good song that me and my son are into right now. So congratulations on the tour.
I actually have a deep-seated hatred for the Wombats.
Now, what's that predicated on?
This whole thing is an elaborate ruse so that I can get close to them and ruin them from the inside out.
So I had talked to you briefly before the interview about another artist named Courtney Barnett, and I wasn't sure if
taught her everything she knows.
If people mistake the two. You and her, by any chance.
Oh, man. Literally all the time, I get tagged like, Courtney Barnett, so amazing tonight. Courtney Barnett, isn't she incredible? What a lyrical genius is Courtney Barnett. What a wonderful diamond of our generation is Courtney Barnett. But I mean, it's free publicity for me because they've actually tagged me in all the pictures.
Yeah.
So people will be like, I really got to check this Barnes Courtney guy out.
It's roundabout praise, really.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're getting the praise, it's just not for you.
She does the work, and I receive all of the accolades. And I'm okay with that.
It's brilliant, actually.
Have you ever accidentally woke up next to a guy who thought you were Courtney Barnett?
So tender.
Yeah, we're getting married next month. I felt too awkward to say anything about it.
I'm sorry, dude. You seem so into it, I didn't want to throw you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, he's a nice man.
Nice guy. He just wrote a letter about his panties.
Yeah.
Well, the show is tonight at 8 o'clock. At the Fillmore, and great music already, but you won us over with your personality, so we want to send as many people out as possible to see you tonight. And Barnes, come back around and see us again when you're back in town, okay?
I'll think about it.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
That's Barnes Courtney.
Yeah.
That's Thanks, man. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We have writer and director Peter Hedges, who is going to be in our studio. Stay put.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Join Marissa Magnata tonight from 6 to 8 for Oktoberfest at Dilworth Park. Enjoy 5 days of fall with live music, autumn cocktails, beers, special menus, and a local craft market now through Sunday. Learn more at dilworthpark.org. Tomorrow, from noon to 2, Brent Porsche rocks Sprint, 1800 Clements Bridge Road, Woodbury. Win Bates Motel tickets and a sit-in with the Preston and Steve Show on Halloween morning. Hang with Sarah tomorrow from noon to 2 at Springfield Mitsubishi at 313 Baltimore Pike. Join Jackie Bam Bam tomorrow from 4 to 6 at Sprint, 4640 Roosevelt Boulevard, Northeast Philly. Win Bates Motel tickets and a sit-in with the Preston and Steve Show on Halloween morning. Hang with the MM Army Sunday morning for the annual AIDS Walk Philly 5K, Philadelphia region's largest annual HIV/AIDS awareness and fundraising event on Martin Luther King Drive. For more info and to register, visit AIDSWalkPhilly.org.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
Before we welcome our next guest, I want to remind you about Marissa's appearance tonight at Dilworth Park. It is the Oktoberfest that's going on, and if you love cider, you're in for a treat at Oktoberfest tonight. They have three ciders to select from. Stella Artois Cider, Down Easter Cider Original Blend, and Down East Cider Pumpkin Blend as well.
Yeah.
I just had some cider. I hadn't had a hard cider in a long time. I had it at the Pickle Festival in Philadelphia.
Did it knock you on your feet?
No. It was nice. It was refreshing. Yeah. It was different than a different take on beer, you know? So I enjoy that, and you'll be able to enjoy that with Marissa tonight from 6 to 9, and that will be at Dilworth Park. All right. Our next guest, who's actually been hanging out for a little while, because he wanted to hear some live music, and Barnes Courtney, who just played, was fantastic. And he is a music fan, as we were talking to him off air. But he's also a novelist, a playwright, a filmmaker, has given you some wonderful projects over the years, just to name a few. About a Boy.
Yes.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Dan in Real Life. And now he is here to promote the film Ben Is Back, starring Julia Roberts, premiered last night at the Philadelphia Film Center. Please welcome Mr. Peter Hedges.
Yeah.
Thank you.
To our program. Nice to see you, Peter.
Nice to be here.
So you're a ukulele player, huh?
I am. I really rip it up.
You tear up the ukulele. Well, now, do you say ukulele or ukulele? Because we know that the
no,
proper.
I I'm just cool.
Peter was off air in case it was chit chat with him.
My wife is like, really? This is the instrument you chose to pick up? Do you really want to get laid? Because it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. Like,
nobody wants to.
Yeah, you don't ever see somebody like Pete Townsend.
No.
And
I know four
happen.
Chords, but I can play most songs.
I will tell you this, just as there are gateway drugs, I think this is a gateway to an actual guitar, you know?
That's the way it's worked.
Preston has started with an ukulele and is now learning guitar.
Yep. All right. Yeah. Well, then I feel hopeful.
You'll get
But
that.
After hearing Barnes, I think maybe I'll just let him play.
Yeah.
Because that was awesome.
He was fantastic, wasn't he?
Let me ask you something as a director and a writer and a creator of things like that. Music is obviously an essential part of the way the mood is set in a film. And you're always looking for new things.
Super important.
Yeah.
You know, over the years, I've gotten to work with Stephen Merritt and the Magnetic Fields. They scored my film Pieces of April.
Yeah.
The great Norwegian singer-songwriter Sondre Lerche scored Dan in Real Life. He was 23 when he did the score.
Wow.
Glenn Hansard and Marquetta wrote a song for my film The Odd Life of Timothy Green. Music is everything. I write to music. I listen to music all the time.
You know, but Stephen King writes to AC/DC all the time.
Yeah, I should probably try AC/DC because I'd have a nicer house. But music is it's so inspiring. I mean, hearing it, it just makes you feel so glad to be alive.
Yeah, yeah. I love your work. I love, you know, your from the writing to the directing. And I think what you do is particularly difficult in that, in the kind of drama and the kind of stuff that you write, you're going down a line where a little bit to the left and it's treacly, and then a little bit to the right it's too self-aware. You've got to, it really, I think, of all these genres of film, it's the one that requires you to be as spot on as you can be. Am I correct in saying that?
No, I think you're right.
Yeah.
It's so tricky. But if you're trying to articulate the human condition, I mean, we're living in such a wacky time. And I try to put these broken people on screen that are, you know, trying their best to do the right thing.
And you're broken people, though, which I love about all your work, from What's Eating Gilbert Grape and on, they're hopeful.
They are. I mean, they're my experience with most people are trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Most people just don't know necessarily how to do the right thing.
Right, right.
And or what that is. So I do. I tend to like people. I root for people who are doing the best they can under circumstances that aren't ideal.
So in Ben is Back, which we're blown away by the trailer. It happens. It's coming at a time, you know, it deals with a young man battling an addiction issue, and returning home to his family takes place on the holiday, Christmas, and in one day, I believe, right?
That's right.
And we hear stories constantly, and it's we have advertisers that, you know, treatment centers and things of that nature. It's a critical mass problem, and actually within my own family, I see, you know, an extended family, I see people dealing with this. You have the dynamic of the family, and you have the Julia Roberts as the mom who wants to do everything they can without enabling, but yet control, making sure that there's a voice of reason, and every dynamic is in play at the same time. And I would imagine, as a parent, I don't have kids, but they all do. You're just a spinning compass. I don't know what you fix on to help somebody you dearly love and don't know what to do.
Right. That's something that tons of people are facing right now, and Julia does this amazing job in the film. She just goes everywhere and anywhere on behalf of her kid, and that's my experience with most parents.
Yeah,
they'll do anything they can to help their kid, and it's just a question of how do you help? What's the loving thing to do? How do you help someone who is, you know, addiction's a disease.
Yeah,
and how do you help treat it?
In my own family, in the situation that I've seen, you know, many different things have been tried. Is this the way to go? Is this the way to go?
Right.
Is this the way to go? The love never wanes, but it's like at what point you have to, the person has to assess, am I killing myself in pursuit
That's
of
right.
this? You
That's
know,
right.
and what about the people who aren't addicted? Are they suffering as a result? In the, you know,
right?
It's an amazing thing to deal with, and I think even more difficult for you as the writer director to do the just thing when dealing with it.
Well, true, but yeah. I wanted to put a story out that shone a light, if you will, on how all the angles, all the points of view,
sure,
and to try to expand compassion that people might have for people who are going through this.
Right.
And sometimes you can't imagine how hard it is.
Yeah.
Oddly, though, there's incredible amounts of humor in the film.
Yeah.
There's a lot of love. There are these kind of surprising moments of joy.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of heartbreak and
life.
Agony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and you're the guy to pull it off. I mean, because, you know, About a Boy does that so wonderfully. There's heartbreak. There's hope. And there's a lot of humor in it as well. In fact, it's hard to categorize that movie. There's so many funny moments in it that it's hard to categorize that as a drama as well. Just to point out, I mean, like, how did you have the idea of Will going to a women's support group to pick up women? Well, had you heard of someone?
No, that's the genius of the great Nick Hornby, who wrote the novel.
Right.
Oh, okay. Adapted. You did the screenplay. That is correct.
No. Yeah. But Nick wrote this amazing novel, and they called me and said, "Do you want to adapt this?" And I said, I want to do my own work.
Sure.
And then they said, finally, they called a few times. I said, "What's the book about?" And they said, "Well, it's about this single guy who goes to," and I said, "Oh, you've got to send it to me right away."
Yeah.
Nice. And it's one of those books I read. I went, "Oh my, I wish I'd written it." And so all I tried to do was help move it. And then the Weitz brothers came in and did their beautiful, beautiful film of it and took what I did and improved it, I think, massively. So, but I got to swim around in that story and I just tried to serve it, you know, which is what you try to do when you're working on anything like that. It's just to be helpful.
Is it tricky when you're taking an existing work and you need to whittle it down?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, but you don't want to betray some of the most important parts.
You don't want to betray it. In fact, I loved the book so much that you would ache if you took a shortcut. So you just try to help it. And hopefully a lot of people will find the book because the book's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking a little bit off air. And speaking of music, you were able to bond with Nick Hornby before writing the screenplay, right? You guys went to London together.
I went to London. He lives there.
Okay.
I went to London, and he wrote High Fidelity.
So, yes,
you know,
I love that. Love one, too.
He took me to a record store, CD store, whatever they're called. But I mean, and I left with a stack of CDs. I must have had 30. He just kept buying me things and music. My musical knowledge was so pathetic compared to his. But he never made me feel like an idiot, but he definitely was determined to educate me.
That would have been a fear, though, dealing with him. I would have thought, this guy is going to dress me down.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
but no, he's very generous and kind and really a remarkable man. And
generous and kind, huh?
Yeah, so there are a few out there.
We're doing
apparently not any in this room, but
yeah.
I'm kidding. You guys seem awesome.
But we are doing our show from London next week.
Yes.
I wonder if he would be generous and kind enough to join us on our show while we're in London.
Oh, you've got to get him. You have to get him.
Give me his personal cell phone number and I'll make that happen.
Well,
I'm kidding.
You can Facebook message.
Facebook.
You and I were chatting a little bit off air. I'm a father as well. And yes. I coached my son in basketball this past winter. And
I've done that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to ask, I mean, because it can be difficult. And there were times after practice where I had to say to him, "Hey, listen, you can't treat me like that at practice. I'm not treating you like my son, and you can't treat me like dad." So you are directing your son in this movie, Lucas.
That's right. Lucas is the other star of the film. Yeah. Julia.
Were there struggles? Were there father-son struggles in that? Or were you guys able to keep that strictly professional?
Mm. That's a great question. You're welcome. by far the best question of the morning. What happened was he was pretty clear because he had had a small part in Dan in Real Life.
Yeah.
And I cut him from the movie. He was 8 at the time.
You bastard.
And I know, I was a bastard. And I cut him, but we had to do a number of takes, and after about the second take, he said, "Why do I have to keep doing it?" I said, "Because it's a movie. That's what you do in a movie."
Yeah.
And he was in tears, and I thought, first of all, he's never going to ever be in a movie again. But then he was in a play in 7th grade, and a casting director called, and he said, "I'll audition for the movie as so long as Dad isn't directing the film."
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he went off, and he got Moonrise Kingdom with Wes Anderson, and that started all these movies. So when he was never going to be in this film. I never imagined it. But when Julia read the script and said she wanted to do it, she said, "I want Lucas to do it with me," because she'd seen Manchester by the Sea and she loved his work. And I said, "He's never going to be in it." So she started sending texts with one of her kids has red hair, and she said, "See how I do with red-haired children? They like me." And my wife said, "Do not show that to him. Do not." And what ended up happening was I finally did show it to Lucas, and what we decided, and it's really simple, and maybe you should try this with your son in basketball, it'll be weird for the other kids, that he never called me dad on the set. He always called me Peter. And now he's 21, so your son's 11, I think you said. So that would be kind of weird.
So he should call you Peter.
No, but if he said Casey. Hey, Casey. But that just that alone was very helpful.
Okay.
Now, are you just now Peter to him since this experience?
No, he actually, now I'm Pops. Hey, Pops.
I'm very Pops. Casual.
It's a little casual. Yeah. I've been Pops. I was dad recently. Sometimes I'm still Peter.
Okay.
Yeah.
He slipped once on the set and called me dad, and I about burst into tears. I'm like, I'm still the father.
I got to say, though, and I didn't realize that it was your son until Steve had brought it up earlier this morning, but, and then I looked up his body of work, and he has done so much in such a little amount of time.
Phenomenal
and
stuff.
And he's done really, really, really great work.
Yeah, he has.
You gotta be proud.
He did Lady Bird, 3 billboards. He's got 3 movies this fall. He's doing a play on Broadway right now. Yeah, right. He's doing fine.
I want to ask you about your mother's a psychotherapist?
She was.
She was a psychotherapist, yes. And your dad was an Episcopal
priest, yeah.
So I think your empathetic ability to tie into things that at least resonate.
Right. I was groomed.
Yeah.
Raised to be that guy who got beat up and was like, I love everybody. I'm a vegetarian.
Here's a ukulele.
You can see that there's a real motif here.
Yeah. Were you sensitive to ponytail guy at any point?
I never a ponytail. I did have a kind of a Mick Jagger moment where my hair was long, but I didn't have any of Mick's swagger. I was too sweet. You know, I was the nice guy.
But that's a good thing to have to be able to tap into that, especially because we all love movies that attempt to go where your movies go, and you succeed in it because it a lot of times like they're conversation starters or they're just reaffirmations or they may just be what you need to see at that time. And when they work fabulously well, you know?
Yeah, I think I was fortunate to be born right when I was.
Yeah,
50 years early, that would have just been run over by a truck.
That's bleak, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Probably.
If you're just joining us, Peter Hedges is here. Ben is back as the film. There's a screening of it last night, Philadelphia Film Center, part of the festival that's going on. It's going to open in theaters December 21st. I didn't make it to the screening last night, so all I have to go on is what I've read about it and the trailer that I've seen. In the trailer, Peter, there's a scene where Julia Roberts' character takes her son to a graveyard and says, and I got emotional just watching this part.
Right.
She goes, just show me where you want to be buried. Did you write that particular?
I wrote every
word. You wrote every bit of this.
Yeah.
Did someone share a story with you about doing that, or did you create that in your head, or have people done that you've heard of to try and get a message through?
I know of an instance where somebody wanted to go to a funeral home and start to plan the funeral.
Right.
Say, let's go.
God.
And that's what I started with, that idea. But then I realized it would just be better if they pulled up and she dragged them out. And then you realize where they are. You don't know where she's gone. And the scenes that preceded are really make that even more impactful. I think it's impactful in the trailer.
Yeah.
But
it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, wow, can you get a more specific message?
And yet the thing is, Preston, to the people in the throes of it,
it may not mean enough. Yeah.
No, but, you know, we had a number of people last night who, the stories they shared, I mean, it was deeply moving. That the audiences in Philadelphia, the 2 times I've been at the festival, have been amazing. I couldn't wait to come back. And last night was an astonishing experience hearing people tell about their 12 or 17 years being clean.
Yeah.
Someone lost their son, you know, and they talked about it openly. And I think it was eye-opening and, you know, for everybody there.
I mean, this is a compliment. I really want to see it once. I don't know if I want to see it twice.
I think this is a movie I tend to make movies. I mean, Gilbert Grape, people watch over and over again about a boy.
Yeah.
People watch over and over again. I think this is the most important film I've ever made, but you may only need to see it once.
Okay. Where do you stand on addiction versus personal responsibility?
Well, I know, because my mother was an alcoholic, and I didn't know her sober till I was 15 years old.
Wow.
And my mother, when she was drunk, was a mess. And when my mother was sober, She saved lives, hundreds and hundreds of lives. She devoted her life to helping people until she died. And I believe that addiction is a disease. I know it's a disease, and I don't think we treat it that way. We need to treat it the way we treat cancer. We treat bipolar. We treat all of these things, and we don't. We don't understand it that way. And part of what I tried to do in writing the film, because I can understand the family member of an addict easily because I am one.
Yeah.
But understanding the mind of an addict and how consumed they can be was hard for me. So I consulted and worked with a lot of my addict friends. I happen to have many. And they were so helpful in expanding my sense of it. So I believe we have to be responsible for our choices, but we have to understand that these are people experiencing substance abuse disorder are sick.
Yeah.
As if
and they're
I had
actually
cancer.
Not really making their own decisions anymore.
They're not.
You know,
they're not.
At a certain point, their brain and their body has been turned over
yep.
to the mercy of the drug. And
that's right.
And they're not in their right mind.
Yeah. So
it's but you're right. There is hope. Certainly, my brother is many years sober, and it can happen and does happen often. And
it does.
So there is hope.
It does.
On the mechanics of directing something like this, you have a cast. You have Julia Roberts. You have Courtney Vance, who is phenomenal. You have the cast members are all very accomplished. As a director, I'm sure they're giving you so much to work with. Is that a blessing and a curse at the same time?
Sometimes it's never a curse.
Yeah.
Where it's a difficult thing is, for instance, the scene you referenced in the cemetery or so many of the scenes.
Yeah.
Julia and Lucas and all of them, but those two especially, brought so many different versions, so many different approaches to a moment. And you can't show them. You can't do like eight versions
right,
of the
yeah.
scene. So that was hard. It was hard sometimes, the choices I had to make because of what I left on the floor.
Or can you shoot it like, I said, where do you want to be buried? And just keep doing it like nine times in a row. See, that would, to me, that would diminish the emotional impact. Yeah.
that's exactly it.
All right.
There's the nine-hour version of the film where we see all of Peter's favorite moments. But
do you when you see your stuff after, I hear filmmakers say it all the time, they do it, it's done, and they don't revisit it because the artist or the film creator that you are is always, could have done that better, could have changed that, should have spent a few more seconds on this, or are you okay with looking at your stuff?
What I find is that there are moments, are sections of the movie I love. There are 10 minutes in Gilbert Grape where I always leave the movie.
Really?
I just can't watch it, and because I know we could have done it better, but then... So it's kind of complicated.
You know,
I like parts of it, and some parts you're like, I could have done that better. And then you talk to somebody afterwards, and they're crying, and they say, that scene, like the scene I thought was the disastrous scene,
yes.
is the most important. That scene changed me. So
Spielberg said like he never says that, because that very moment that he's unhappy with is the exact moment of the film that people say, that's it.
Yeah, so I think you have to have the humility to know that you don't know on a certain level, that you do the best you can. So I do try to rewatch periodically to keep learning, to say, and with kind of a capacity to say, wow, that worked pretty well.
Sure.
What I often see is how other people impacted the film. Like, I'll rewatch a film and go, oh my gosh, you know, I had this other idea, but Julia knew that she didn't need to say that line. Or my editor said, what if we flip the order of those scenes?
Yeah, yeah.
So that really makes me... Well, the way you feel doing the show, like you're not doing the show alone,
you know,
and what makes the show magical, I can feel it being here, is that energy of all of the people and how you interact and how you play.
Exactly.
It's the exact same thing.
That's cool.
It's tough to let go of your idea, though. Sometimes.
It is, but it isn't if what your goal is to create the most impactful story. If I want to make the most impactful story, then it doesn't have to be necessarily all mine. Just like you want to have the most kind of
mind-blowing
show.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But you have that, and you have that by being open to ideas and going where things go and where things lead. And you know, my goal is to, and I succeed always, is to never be the most talented person in the room. and if you can do that, and every day you're around people who, what they do, they're better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always wanted to play, like, with Magic Johnson or, you know, or in the 82 Sixers would have been great. I mean, they were awesome.
Yeah.
But Was it the 82?
Well, 83.
83. Sorry, 83.
Yeah. But it was, 82
still pretty good.
They lost to Magic Johnson. Yeah. So.
Sorry, that's why, because I was really a Lakers fan. So I'm faking like I'm a Sixers fan. But the 83 Sixers were awesome.
They were. Fo.
But you know, that thing when you play with the best.
Yeah.
And you know, I just never knew that I'd get to direct my favorite movie star ever. And my favorite actor ever, who happens to be my son.
Oh, that's so great.
In a film about something that means so much to me.
Especially now. Very important. That's phenomenal.
I'm a lucky man.
Yeah.
You think that Julia has brought an Academy Award performance?
Oh, I think it's a staggering piece of work.
She looks amazing. I mean, in her delivery of some of these scenes that I've seen, is just like, it looks like her at her absolute best.
Yeah. No, she came... You know, every day, first take, ready to go. Most prepared actor I've ever met or seen.
Wow.
Just an amazing human being.
Well, we love your work. Really.
Thank you. What a pleasure to have a long and robust conversation about me.
About that.
I really appreciate it.
You love me. You really love me.
And now I'm going to sing. Let's go to commercial.
Well, we brought up some ukulele music for you here. Uh-huh.
Great. Oh, yeah, my wife's getting ready with the nightgown. We're going to have some fun.
She gets so turned on.
Oh, it's so over.
Oh, this is great. It's Final Countdown?
This is the Final Countdown on ukulele. I don't know why this is a piano part in the beginning here.
I like the piano, though.
Yeah, it is kind of fun, though. I don't know when it's going to kick in here at any point. But listen,
You're killing me.
I will remind people that...
I'm going home.
This could be part of the soundtrack.
Yeah, there you go.
This could be the closing credits. Oh, there's a kazoo, too.
Thanks so much.
Here we go.
All right, so anyhow... Oh, you want me to keep going?
There you go.
He just told us to F off.
Oh, God, how much did that cost me? Oh,
no, we're good. We got
it.
I
caught it. Don't worry about it.
You raised the double birds.
I'm the son of a minister.
This has been a great day.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben is back as in theater. 7/21 says Peter Hedges. Woo! We'll take a break and we'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Pain Lives on the Riverside. That is a great song, and that is from Live, and it also comes from 1991, yet another song that we played, highlighting the weekend that we have in store for you here at MMR, and that is sampling music from that particular year, and also reminding you of the things that were just going on in the world, in the country, in Philadelphia at that time. So it's just a look back at another one of the years that MMR was a part of your life, part of the soundtrack to your life, if you will. So tune in for all of those moments over the course of the weekend. I love tuning in to hearing that stuff. A lot of fun. We did not get to the Bizarre File because we had an awesome conversation with Peter Hedges, the director.
That
How
ended
cool.
In a different fashion.
It ended with him sticking up both middle fingers and saying, F you. I guess he thought I'd turn the mics off and that we were done.
He apologized to Bill Weston in the kitchen. He was like, I'm so sorry. I will pay the fine.
But he gave us the greatest compliment. I mean, afterwards, he's like, I do a lot of radio. He goes, that was the most substantive and fun interview I've ever done. So
love it.
Awesome. It was a big compliment. So thank you very much, Peter.
He's unaware that we have three dumb buttons always active and ready to go.
Right.
So no problem. And by the way, it gave us one of the biggest laughs we've had in a long while.
Did you want to mention something here?
I just want to do a quick shout out because I had an event last night. It was the Bud Light Philly tour, and I was at Barnaby's in Westchester, which, a lot of people came out and were huge fans of the show. I got called an ass hat and an ass clown all night long, which is really, really great. But I met this group of people, and they couldn't have been nicer. And I ended up hanging out with them for a little while. Eric was celebrating his 25th birthday, and so I had asked that they all write their names down so I could give each and every single one of them a shout out.
All right, you want to go?
So I'll do the list of names, and then we'll just do a shout out.
All right, you got it.
All right, so Eric Thomas, happy 25th birthday. And then a shout out to Andy Peters.
And then we've got the two more Moriartys. We got Amy Moriarty and Jack Moriarty. And then all of the Fichters that were there. So we've got Ken Fichter, Mary, Kenny, and Emily Fichter. It was awesome meeting you guys last night.
There you go. And then I'll send this one out because she's a super fan of the show. And we got this from her. Unfortunately, I think I got it yesterday, but it was referring to something the day before yesterday. I said, good morning, you crumb bums. It's from Mandy D.
Oh, we all know Mandy.
My birthday was yesterday, but it wouldn't be complete without birthday wishes from my favorite people. You know, I'd love to send boob pics for the shout out, but I'm trying to be a successful, wealthy businesswoman along with Steve. Could you also mention my girlfriends, Dawn and Holly, for taking me out for my birthday and some
fall activities?
Yes.
So here's a shout out for you, Mandy.
Hold on a second. I was going over to that, and I'm going to move this over. Now I'm going to shift this. I'm going to raise this up. I'm going to move this over. And 2 seconds here. I got to get back to the chart page. This is wonderful.
Hold
you.
It's not easy to do. Yeah.
But you know what happened? Because they know this is used. Whenever people design stuff or they come in here to say, we're going to put in a new system, a lot of radio shows use it. Morning radio shows. Morning radio shows like ours. So on this touch screen, as you go from page to page, Kathy, these are the tabs at the bottom here. Just verify what I'm talking about.
The worst.
They are a millimeter.
I don't know what they are.
You can't even see them.
They're tiny.
So
you can't see anything.
So negotiating the pages is difficult. But enough of my living hell.
You don't have time for that.
I'm a wealthy businessman. Long ago, I gave up flat pancakes.
Yeah.
And now takes too long to eat pancake balls.
Now you got to deal
with
this.
You know what, Steve? Look at all that blank space at the top of that page.
Where it could be.
Oh, there we go.
No, we're going
to
squeeze it here.
You don't have to be Steve Jobs to see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, anyhow, Mandy, happy birthday to you. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Delilah's. Delilah's presents Trick or Treat, the 27th anniversary party on Wednesday, October 24th, with guest DJ Kat Nova. And you can visit Delilah's.com for details. We'll start with one that hits close to me. Police say a man stole golf balls from a private country club and resold them to a driving range.
What the f***?
But wait till you hear about how many he stole over time. Joseph Kalenda, who's 58, was arrested on a warrant last week and charged with second-degree larceny, a search warrant. Executed at his home in August, found in excess of 2,500 golf balls, many of them stamped with the Patterson Club logo. Police began investigating in August after a club member found Patterson's golf balls while using the driving range at Great Brook Sports. Now, officials told police there were three instances this summer where they discovered golf balls left for members to use were taken. The thefts happened, it ended up being a total of about 20,800 golf balls.
20,000 golf balls?
Yeah, that this guy stole.
Don't they pay people to go into, like, the ponds and stuff and get the golf balls out of those?
If you have a lot of water on the golf course, sometimes they will. But they also have, you know, a really nice club will have brand new, really good golf balls that they'll use for their driving range.
So he was stealing and reselling.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So a detective went to the facility and purchased a bucket of balls at the driving range. He found golf balls with the Patterson logo on there, and they talked to the manager, and they said that this guy sold them to him. So they busted him.
You have my balls.
Now he's been charged with a second-degree larceny for stealing golf balls. A Texas zoo was forced to close for the day after a wild mountain lion was spotted roaming around the park. A security guard discovered the stray feline inside the El Paso Zoo at approximately 6 a.m. Friday and alerted authorities. Officials were not able to find the mountain lion in the office hours. Have I presented this story before?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right. And the zoo remained closed as the search
continued.
He did
one about golf balls.
Okay, I think I remember that one. The animal does not belong to the park as the El Paso Zoo does not have a mountain lion exhibit.
So it was just a visiting the park.
Yeah. It's possible the big cat came
from zoos.
A desert area near the southwest Texas city. Let's see. A man has been arrested after a fire extinguisher inspection led to the alleged discovery of child porn.
Oh, man. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Employees at the Shadow Creek Apartments were collecting fire extinguishers for inspection on Friday. When they reached the suspect's apartment, they were inside. They found what appeared to be a slideshow of child pornography.
Are you kidding me?
On his computer in the living room. Police were called and went to the apartment. They confirmed the existence. Police say the suspect, James Drew Taylor, was located at his place of employment, and he allegedly told police that he did download the images from the internet. Now, tenants of this place were notified by three emails
prior to the inspections that they should put their fire extinguishers outside for collection.
So, but listen, honestly, in this case, I'm always glad when the child pornographers are dumb.
Yeah. Yep. Precisely.
Anything that leads to them being captured is A-OK in my book.
Exactly. Apparently, a cute cat can be considered offensive to some. The U.S. Embassy in Canberra, Australia, has apologized on behalf of the Department of State, which accidentally sent out a test email featuring a photo of a cat dressed in a Cookie Monster costume.
So what's the big problem?
According to the Australian Associated Press, the photo was titled Cat Pajama Jam.
What's wrong with this?
And was sent with an email titled Meeting as part of a fake meeting invitation sent by the Department of State to recipients.
This is adorable.
I want to work for this government.
Yeah. The U.S. Embassy's apology reads in part, sorry to disappoint those of you who were hoping to attend the cat pajama party, but such an event falls well outside our area of expertise. It was a training error made by one of our new staff testing our email newsletter platform. So it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek apology.
All right.
But
I don't know who would be offended by this adorable little picture.
It is super cute. Look at that. What would you say for, what would you do for a bag of Doritos? That's the question. Well, the Sheriff's Department is
handy.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was part of the thing. You were just asking.
No.
Okay. I do like those.
This is a story. Handies or Doritos?
Handy. Both. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's a win-win for me.
What's going on?
Right.
Yeah.
We're negotiating here now.
Oh, you mean give or get?
Well, I think it would get. I thought you were saying give. So.
Yeah. Sure. They're good. Good.
The Sheriff's Department in San Bernardino, California, posted on Sunday about their adventure luring a pig the size of a miniature horse back home.
Oh, I saw this.
And they write that responding officers knew where the pig lived due to previous calls, and they lured him back home with Doritos.
Look at the size of this thing, Kathy.
Oh, my God.
And they were literally dropping Doritos on the road, like, one at a time, like a trail of breadcrumbs. And they were, and it was just from the deputy's lunch, and the pig followed her and was brought all the way back home with that. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that little piggy went home.
Yes, it did.
My wife follows people on Instagram that thought they were getting a miniature pig. And so when they bought it as a piglet, it was tiny.
They didn't realize
And it lives in their home.
Yeah.
Not a barn or a farm.
Like 300 pounds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Wow. Marymead Farm has one of those huge pigs.
Yeah, they can get really, really big.
Giant.
One last story. A group of elderly female residents at the Milton Lodge, a retirement home in England, have been treated to a meal served by scantily clad butlers.
Wow.
Claire Martin, activities co-coordinator at the Milton Lodge, said it was...
activities?
Yeah. It was 89-year-old Joan Corp.
I'd like some spotted dick.
Who thought up the idea. Martin says whenever you ask Joan what she wants that day, she always says she wants a man.
Yeah.
And these guys are in, like, Chippendale costumes.
And they, from what I understand, Preston, they will have sex with these women.
Okay, so...
From what you understand.
The activities coordinator said, so we weren't surprised when she wanted it to be her wish. The home hired men from a company called Hunks and Trunks to serve residents a three-course dinner. The gentlemen were told to do some, quote, harmless flirting. And the
they don't have sex then.
The eldest resident at the home, Doll Jenkins, who is 99, said she loved the butlers in the buff and has requested for them to come back for her 100th birthday.
Well, that's sweet.
Yeah, so they had a good
getting
time
all turned on.
Yep. All right, there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you.
Just like the telly.
All right. We're going to do the lesson question now, and there are so many to choose from. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for Pierre Presents Rival Sons next Tuesday. Got to be at least 21. It is at Ardmore Music Hall. And, man, I don't know what to go with here.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, there was some good stuff here. So,
which one were you laughing at before?
There were two of them I was laughing at. I'll give you one and I'll read you the other one. All right, what is the traditional response to Happy Lottery Baby Day?
Shalom?
Oh, you just gave the answer.
You're going to give the other one.
That's what I was going to use.
You didn't just, did you?
Yes, you did.
All right.
I have a second one. That's the one that I was going to ask, and then I was going to give you another one.
All right, now give me the other one.
So anyway, the other one is what movie... what movie, which uses visual aids... should you show your dog in order to train him? 215-263-WMMR. What movie, which uses visual aids, should you show your dog in order to train him? 215-263-WMMR. Call now And we're going to do the trash. Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And this morning is brought to you by God Shawls. When your bacon, when you buy bacon, I'm sorry, for your family, remember only God Shawls packs this much real wood smoked flavor with 80% less fat than pork bacon. Only God Shawls turkey bacon. What's going on, Steve?
Well, former ShamWow and Slapchop pitchman Vince Shlomi announcing that his wife of 4 years, Melody Barney, is divorcing him. In the ultimate slap in the face, Barney is reportedly leaving Shlomi for the MyPillow guy.
No!
The National Enquirer reporting that George and Amal Clooney have hired a veritable army of nannies to take care of their one-year-old twins. Clooney denies the story, saying he and Amal are hands-on parents, always having their hands on the intercom button to ask how the kids are doing.
Oh, my God.
And finally, former NBA star Chris Humphries saying he wants zero association with his ex-wife Kim Kardashian or her family. Humphries, who was married to Kim for 72 days, says he's currently loving life and spends his days chasing after a red dot from a laser pointer. So,
that's your Hollywood Trash. Oh, my God. I completely forgot about that guy.
And 72 days.
That was it.
That's how, and you remember the big production on the show.
Yeah.
You remember the big lead up, the whole thing.
Did they do the wedding on it?
They did the wedding on the show.
God.
72 days.
Remind yourself of that, folks. All right, so we're going to go to the phone, see if we can find out the answer to this. What movie was which uses visual aids should you show your dog in order to train him? And I am going to go to Jay. Hi, Jay. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Gadzooks,
buddy. All right, what movie uses the visual aids, please?
Philadelphia.
Yeah. You got it, man. Hang on. Passes to see this band right here, Rival Sons. Wow. And it is MMR's Pierre Presents. Tuesday, October 23rd at Ardmore Music Hall. And it's an invitation only 21 and over event with professional recording by our friends at Endray Recording and Production. Details and a list of featured events where you can win the tickets are available at WMMR.com. Oh, come on!
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right. Music news stories in very, very tiny.
What the hell?
Print.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so.
Don't we have.
I'll do my best.
What about our own printer? Is it printing like that?
No, it's. Trust me, it's on,
a horrible
it's on their end. It's not our printer. All right, so. Greta Van Fleet finally released its highly anticipated debut disc on Friday, today actually, titled Anthem of the Peaceful Army. The Michigan Quartet's first full-length LP follows two EPs and the overnight success of their single last year, which is Highway Tune, of course. Bassist Sam Kizka told Premier Guitar that Anthem of the Peaceful Army is a concept LP, saying that I think it asks fairly large questions. What are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to our environment? What are we doing to each other?
What do you like to eat?
Why must there be hate? Why must there be greed and evil? I think it simply asks the question of why can't we all be one?
Why must there be hate?
We're all people. We all look up at the same sky.
Why must there be evil?
Breathing the same air.
Why does the phone always ring when you're in the shower?
We all come from the same place, he says. Last week, Greta Van Fleet announced a massive 2019 world tour in support of the new disc after a series of shows in New York, Chicago, and Detroit. In November, by the way.
November, the month before December. That's when Thanksgiving happens.
And then a therapist came in.
Oh, God.
I think I can cook Thanksgiving dinner for you, or at least order it from Guppy.
I have Marissa pull up some other good transition music besides Salisbury Hill that might work going in that. So it did.
It did work just fine.
Last week, well, I already said that.
No, do it again.
Tell us the golf ball story again.
Do it again with a British accent.
No.
What?
The first North American.
Greta Van Fleet.
The first North American tour. Oh, my God.
November, December. January.
The,
February.
But then a young ingenue came in to turn everything around.
Kathy Romano stars in Let's Go to Guppies. Starring Bill Romano, Bill Weston, as the program director who hates her mentioning guppies all the time.
She had two babies.
Okay. Oh. God, that's a Dawson's Creek.
Oh, yeah.
She had another hit, didn't she? Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Was that the other there?
Mm.
Paula Cole?
Was that Paula Cole? Or
Where Have All the Cowboys Gone?
I remember that song. I wasn't sure if that was her or not. Nick, you'll have to look that up. I did like some of her stuff.
She had Harry Pitts. Do you remember that?
Yeah. She
was a big thing.
She was.
I thought that was her father.
That was her father, Harry Pitts.
I'm a private detective. Have you heard about my girl?
Her name's Harry.
She sings the title song for Dawson's Creek. The sun sunk into the sky like a pearl in a bottle of Prel.
What?
You remember that commercial?
Yeah,
no.
So random, dude.
Nick Stevens has singles or releases or music video.
Where Have All the Cowboys Gone?
Yeah.
Yeah, Paula Cole. What am I looking up now?
It was the kind of yelly you'd see on an office window where people smoked a lot.
I didn't see the title at the top. I just thought that was the Paula Cole page. So, yes, Steve, right. She did indeed do.
Thank you.
Where have all the cowboys gone?
I'm out. You're out? Aw.
It's Friday. Late Friday.
It is. It was late Friday.
It was late Friday. I ached all over as if I just won a marathon. Kathy came into the office. Told me she'd made reservations at Cuppy. Bill came in, prattling on something about third leg of the stool.
Didn't take it, man. Oh. Prattling on.
Is this a Jewish thing?
Okay.
By the way, people were asking, there was something going on. I guess there was some sort of street thing. And Bill saw it and passed it. I guess it was around the time of Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or whatever. And
it was a Jewish holiday of sorts. Yeah.
What is it, a Jewish thing?
I'll explain. Yeah. So he had seen earlier in the day. First of all, he came in and there was a chocolate rose sitting on the table, and he goes, "What is this, a Jewish thing?"
And chocolate rose.
Oh, that was it.
How random is that?
What?
And he had talked about that he saw some type of a religious, a Jewish group that was carrying something on a stick that was red or whatever, and he.
Assumed.
He associated it with the rose.
I had that chocolate rose.
So
milk chocolate rose.
So it was
Whitman sampler.
It was bizarrely random.
Yeah, it was incredible.
So this story was about Paula Cole?
No. It was about Greta Van Fleet.
Oh.
And what's this?
Guys, I died in my chocolate rose. They call me chocolate stem rose.
Believe it or not, this is fish. I know that's a shocker, right?
Yeah.
Casey pulls up some fish.
What is this, Casey?
Yusser Alam Shel Zahev.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Sucks about Paula Cole dying.
But she didn't die.
What?
That's not why we're talking about her. Coldplay is readying a new concert film and live album that will be released alongside the British Act's forthcoming career-spanning documentary. The complete set, which is being referred to as the Butterfly Package, will arrive on December 7th. And the concert film live album documents two different stops on the South American leg of Coldplay's world tour in support of his 2015 LP, A Head Full of Dreams.
Are they in the top five? Are they considered a super group at this time? I mean, are they?
They're one of the only bands. They can sell out a stadium.
They're at U2 level, aren't they?
Yeah, they're
I mean, they're a stadium filler.
They're a stadium
filler. Yeah, I mean, the last time they were here, they did Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah.
The third component of the Butterfly Package is the previously announced documentary, also titled A Head Full of Dreams, which will be shown in theaters for one night only, November 14th, and then it will have an exclusive run on Amazon Prime starting on the 16th of November. What else have here? What even matters?
At this point,
it's almost Saturday.
We've delivered possibly the greatest concentrated
bit of entertainment in history, and now you're asking more from us?
What even matters?
You know, I'm looking at these stories. It doesn't matter. Any of these really matter?
It does not.
Nah.
I'll give you this one,
at this point that Preston realized he'd been living a lie. He didn't care about Paula Cole or Coldplay. He didn't care about any of it. He was still thinking about all those golf balls.
Did you just hit the links today?
I just crushed out a cigarette. I pantomime doing it. Okay, so one last, we'll just do one more. Our Blink-182 drummer Travis Barker and former guitarist Tom DeLonge teasing a reunion. Barker had tweeted a picture of DeLonge and tagged him with the caption that was, "Where are you?" It's how it's spelled.
You.
Y-O-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U-U. A callback to the iconic Blink track, "I Miss You." And DeLonge replied.
I love that song.
Replied to Barker with a later lyric in the song, "I am the voice
in you.
I am the voice inside your yad." I don't know this song. You know that song?
Yes.
How's it go?
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
I'm sure I know it, but I never know.
How are you? I'm so sorry. You never heard that song?
I'm sure I have.
I'll play it for you. But in the meantime, here's this song.
Oh, this is where all the cowboys got.
She sold more records in Kazakhstan.
We played this at Y100 a lot. Around the time of Lilith Fair.
Yes, exactly.
It was a good concert.
I like Lilith Fair. Yeah.
Feeling something heavy, diarrhea.
Did you just say diarrhea?
Yeah.
Come on.
Not a bad song.
All right, I don't have time for this.
And we don't have that song by Blink 182.
We have it.
It's not in the system.
It's do they say the word Adam or song in the anywhere in Adam's song? I don't think they do, right?
It is about the death of a one of the band members' family members.
Oh, I Miss You is?
I believe it is, yeah.
Okay. DeLonge replied, "We bark over the later lyric in the song. He says, 'I am the voice inside your yad.'" Fans went into a frenzy over what it could all mean.
Oh, my God.
Well, these guys aren't in a band together.
No, they hate each other's guts.
And although by all accounts, Blink is sticking with current singer-guitarist Matt Skiba for its next LP, but you never know. This could be the thing that got them back in touch.
So I just brought up Tom's Instagram page, and literally he just posted this a minute ago. And it's CDs of a whole bunch of Blink stuff.
Wow.
And so maybe there's reconciliation at this point.
Okay. We'll see if that comes to pass, which would be really cool if that were the case.
This is it.
I Miss You.
Love this song.
Actually, this is a good song.
Yeah.
Where have cowboys gone?
DJ Coverbomb.
Yeah.
Let it play. You'll know it.
Yeah, man.
Hello there.
How are you?
The angel from my nightmare. The shadow in the background of the moor.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Expecting victim of darkness in the
It's actually my favorite Blink song.
And live like Jack and Sally if we want. Where you can always find me. And we'll have Halloween on Christmas. And in the night, we'll wish this never ends. We'll wish this never ends.
Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah. I love this song.
Yeah.
I love the first half of the song. I can't stand Travis's singing.
I do like it, though.
Oh, when it gets real high?
Yeah.
I actually like that
part. Do you? Okay,
yeah.
This part, come.
Oh, yes. That's all we have of it. That's all we have.
Was at that point that Preston realized he'd had enough.
No.
He missed the song stylings of Paula Cole.
Uh-uh.
And Blink wasn't going to do it.
No.
He realized his pretend cigarette wasn't giving him the satisfaction he hoped it would. So now he lit up a pretend pipe.
Oh, wait, I have a real one.
A real pipe.
I have a real pipe. Remember, this was from my character, the historian.
The historian, which we haven't done in a long time.
Mm. What happened to that guy?
He's still around. I got a briefcase full of stuff, man.
Did you?
Yeah.
Briefcase full of blues.
I got a briefcase full of blues. That's the Blues Brothers album. I don't know what to do.
Here's the rest of the song.
It was at this time when Preston's Chief Show came to a screeching end.
No one talked about it after that day.
What are we doing?
We're destroying broadcast radio.
No, he wants to do something, and I don't know what it is.
I do?
What is he doing? Todd Glass.
Yeah.
No, were you going to play the rest of the song?
Well, the part that Nick hates, I want to play.
Yeah. Where are you? And I'm so sorry. I cannot sleep. I cannot dream tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's not as tender as the beginning.
I don't care for it.
It's all right. I'm glad we did this. Not really.
It was at that point that Preston realized they shouldn't have played that part of the song. It was at that point he pulled out a pretend hookah pipe.
Yeah, that would have to be pretend. I don't have one of those. I got a bong around here somewhere, but
no, we don't. Remember, somebody broke it. Or did they break our stem?
No. The face mask with the bong on it.
Oh, that one.
Yeah. We have multiple bongs.
We have several bongs.
Come on.
And when you go into work today, just ask yourself, how many bongs are here? Because we have about seven of them.
There you go.
There it is.
Ask who's going to bring the receive. Here it is. I'm not putting it on, though. Because it's way too difficult to
sexy.
Yeah. Ask yourself, how many bongs and dildos do you have at work?
This is why HR is such a joke here.
Do we have HR?
We do, but it doesn't pertain to us for some reason.
Oh, wait. Somebody say Travis was singing?
I meant the other guy.
It's Tom.
Tom,
sorry.
At that point, that Preston realized they'd made a mistake about who was singing the song. He realized that the break should have ended about 20 minutes ago.
Seriously. Look at
and this. Here, and at that point, Marissa brought in our collection of dildos and bombs. I wish there were many.
Marissa. Too gigantic.
Man,
that's a. Did
God,
you hear
that?
That? Yeah, that's a dildo.
Yeah, that's a dildo.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Crocodile dildy.
Yep.
Man, this is the jelly chocolate dream. For a second, I thought this was chocolate, and I was like, man, I would totally eat that.
Oh, it's not
chocolate.
What is it?
There should be an Easter
egg. Plastic. Grater.
Man, yeah. I would totally eat that.
I'm Big Dick Black.
We really
have to go.
It's okay. Saturday almost.
We'll take a break and we'll be right back. We have a, oh my God, we got to do birthday bucks. Like when we get back, when Pierre gets here, we got to give away a Word of the Week prize and do birthday bucks. I know. Sorry, Pierre. Birthday bucks coming up next. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMMR.
Quick thank yous to everybody who's been on the program today. Thank you to, first of all, the lottery baby.
Yes.
Jake, this morning. I almost forgot that was today.
Right.
Oh, my God.
You know, it was in the 7 o'clock hour. We handed out the Mega Millions lottery tickets worth $970 billion, or billion dollars, million dollars possibly, close to a billion. And it was Jake Matera who was the lottery baby. So thanks to Jake.
You did a great job.
Thank you to Nikki Glaser, man.
Love her.
I'm like in love with her. You know what I mean?
She's easy to crush on.
She's so funny and she's beautiful and she's really, really cool. She and also is Andrew who was here with her. He was very funny too.
Yeah, the great guy.
The opening act. Tonight, tomorrow, they will be performing at Punchline Philly, and there are two shows each night, 7:30 and 9:45.
Go see her.
How about Barnes Courtney, man?
Dude is super talented.
Not only did he sound great, he was funny and personable and just a really good guy. He's performing tonight at the Fillmore, and there are tickets available. He's opening for the Wombats, I believe. So,
yep.
You could see them both conceivably, right?
You can, yes.
Yeah.
The Fillmore, Philly.com for tickets. And a very cool guy, Mr. Peter Hedges. Writer and director of Ben Is Back. And it stars Julia Roberts. It was shown last night here in Philadelphia at the Film Society Festival that's going on. And it opens on the 21st of December and looks like it's going to be a pretty intense movie.
And it looks like Peter's going to incorporate some music.
Yeah, Barnes Courtney, the performer earlier, they really hit it off. He was very impressed by Barnes. And when he was leaving, we asked if he was going to do some work with Barnes. And Peter goes, oh, he's going to write the music for my next movie.
Wow.
So it was like that. That was so,
yeah.
I think we need to, hopefully we'll get some credit in that. If there's
I can guarantee you he won't.
Yeah, I know. So also, real quick, one last thing. Dilworth Park, Oktoberfest, they brought by a lot of great food for us this morning. So we appreciate that. And Marissa will be at the Oktoberfest festivities tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. And they have the Steinholding competition, which is sponsored by Victory Brewing Company, at 4:30. And then shop the Made in Philadelphia Fall Crafters Market and vote for your favorites in the Carved Pumpkin Contest. So that's today, 6 to 8. Marissa, yes.
Kate. Forgot to do a shout-out from last night. I was at Barnaby's in Westchester. Got to give a shout-out. I got to give a shout-out to James, who I talked to, took a picture with. James is a great guy, works at DaVita, and this is for you, James.
And we'll go right into Pierre Robert right after.
So charming.
Okay, so those are all the thank yous.
All done now.
It was a crazy show today, man. Sorry we went so long.
Wow. So of all the, first of all, is that movie playing tonight with Julia Roberts too, or is it just last night?
Last night.
Well, yeah, was that the only screening?
You know what, we had the guide around here. I'm not sure. Pierre. Okay.
All right. It's called Ben and Me.
Ben is back.
No, Mac and Me is the movie you want to see.
Ben is back, and it's his own son he directed in the movie, you know, the advances that it's phenomenal. The guy's done a lot of great work.
That's cool. I wanted to know that. And then the second thing I just wanted to reference is of all the bizarre color and commentary that goes on between the things that made it so difficult for you to get through music news, among other things, of all in Steve Morrison's brilliant lightning is not even fast enough for how you do whatever it is that you do. God, it's so amazing. But where in God's name you pulled the slice of file of life of a commercial of Prel shampoo and the Pearl. When I was a kid, they had these TV commercials that showed that Prel theoretically was this luxurious shampoo, so luxurious that they'd put a Pearl in it and it would take forever for it to go down.
Right.
And that would seemingly indicate that it's going to be perfect for your hair.
Yes.
And I haven't seen that commercial in 20 or 25 years. And out of nowhere, you pull in the effing Prel commercial. God, that's brilliant.
It just seemed appropriate, right?
I know. I didn't know if it made an ounce of sense, but I just love that you pulled it out of nowhere. Who would think of the Prel commercial?
Me, my severe brain trauma, yes. Thank you.
You know what? Let's do the letter of the day, and then before we find out what you've got going on, there's somebody that we need to bring into the studio real quick here. So let's do the letter of the day. Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
S as in saint.
All right, and we'll take caller number 12 at 215-263-WMMR. Give you the prize if you know the word. I want to bring Max in here. Max is one of our producers, assistant producer here on the Preston and Steve Show. And Max has been with us for a couple of years now.
Yes.
And today is Max's last day.
Oh, yes.
Max. Sorry. No. Max also a part-timer, jock here at WMMR. You hear him on the weekends from time to time.
He's got a great voice.
I'm struggling to put on the headphones.
There you go.
And also, they're not on. How do I turn up the volume?
Right here. That knob right there.
Yes.
But Max's voice, I told you about 2 years ago.
Yeah, Max has voiced a number of some of the comedy bits that I've done and some of the intros and stuff and a lot of production on commercials here. Kevin Gunn uses him a lot.
I'm very fortunate to have had this opportunity and to have you guys think that I am good at something, like talking. I'm not good at, like, conversation. Like,
yeah.
I shy away from conversation at every cost because I know you guys are busy and you're working. You don't want to talk to me. I don't know why you'd want to talk to me. now that we actually have each other's attention, we can have a conversation. So. And we're only 30 minutes over time. So what do you want to know about?
I gave you advice this morning, and I said, so you have a gig that you're in. It's very cool that that's happening, but you cannot go away. You cannot move away from broadcasting because you have a fantastic voice, and your ability behind the microphone is just beginning. You're destined for great things, so stay with it. All right,
you're not getting rid of me this easily.
Right.
Do I have time to tell a short story?
Yeah,
just
please.
It's like 20 seconds.
I got all day.
It involves Pierre. This is how I got started with MMR. It was 28 years ago. August 23rd, 1990. It was a Thursday. I don't know what shift you were doing.
I remember that day very well.
I knew you would. I was born that day in Abington Hospital in Warminster, and my dad called in, and he requested a song. It was the second song from Tommy by The Who. Do you know what that song is?
It opens with...
Overture.
Overture.
It's a boy, Mrs. Walker. Yeah. Max Walker is my name.
Wow.
So, Pierre, you played that song for me on the day of my birth.
I did?
You sure did. I hear this story all the time from my parents. So,
That's cool. I love that song.
Really, I've been here for 28 years. So.
Yeah.
Wow.
So thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
That's a neat story. I actually want to apologize to Max. So early on when Max started here, we were doing a broadcast at Hershey, and Rush was doing their final show
in
Philadelphia.
This. Yes.
So it was the night before we were going to be broadcasting. We go to Hershey and spend the night so we can get up early and go into the park and do it. But I'm like, there's no way I'm going to miss this show. So Max drove my ass all the way back so I could sleep.
Wow.
And be able to get the show done. Because otherwise, I wasn't going to be getting into Hershey till, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that, and have to get up in 2 hours and do the show. So he drove me there. And I, number one, thank you for that.
Sure.
But I want to apologize because we went to the show. We had meet and greet passes, so we get to go back there. And it was my one of my really, really good friends, Jeff, who I went to high school with. And Max was with us. And so we had a chance to do a quick picture with Rush. And I didn't really know Max, and I didn't want him in the picture.
You're like, can you step over
you
there?
Son of a
so
bitch!
So I shuffled him off to Jason.
That's fine. I got a picture with Jason and Sarah, and it's very nice. Yeah, it's
all right. I just felt bad about that.
And I want to apologize to Pierre, because I think you were at the Hooters show, and I had your meet and greet pass in my pocket that whole time waiting for you to get there, and you never showed up. So
I got there eventually.
When?
I don't know. It's a Hooters show. I made it, so I just don't know when.
All right, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, all is good. Max is very, very talented. He's a super nice guy. He's helped out a ton around here, and we're going to miss him dearly, but we'll still hear you on MMR, right?
I think so, yeah. Throughout the commercial, the 93.3 WMMR, 50 years of everything that rocks your weekend. That's the whole year.
That's
yeah,
you. There you go. So, I love it. And by the way, I'll be using you for bits, whether you want it or not.
All right.
So there you go.
I will respond.
Thank you, Max Walker.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Come on. Add a baby, it's a boy.
I need to go back and listen to this album. It's so amazing. All right, Pierre, you got a show coming up. We got a winner here. Hold on, first. Let me do that first.
Holy Jesus.
I will go to John. Hi, John, you're on the air.
This is the latest you've ever gone.
I know. John, are you there? Oh, hold on. Hi, John.
Hey, John.
How you doing?
I didn't have the channel turned on. John, what's the word of the week?
The word is walks.
Great. Day in the cuckoo.
Great day in the cuckoo.
Day in the cuckoo.
You guys know.
John, you got it right. It is walks, and we are going to give you a trip for two to the fan screening of Overlord this Thursday.
Wow.
It's Thursday, November 7th in Burbank, California at the AMC Burbank. That'll include round-trip airfare, two-night hotel stay, including breakfast, vouchers for two, plus two tickets to a guided bus of infamous Hollywood crime scenes and celebrity death locations. All right, my man?
Hey, that is awesome. Thank you so much.
You bet. Hang on a second. You're kind of breaking up. We'll get your info from you. And you got to be at least 21, it says, but hopefully he's over 21. Overlord opens nationwide.
Sounds good.
Oh, never mind. Hey, sounded 21 to me.
Yeah,
I agree. I'm 14.
Sure. Yeah. What's up on your show?
Can I take my kids?
The word is walks because I'll be at the AIDS walk, and so come out and walks with us on Sunday morning, 215-731-WALK or AIDSFundPhilly.org if you'd like to sign up and get sponsors and come out. That's Sunday morning by the Art Museum. Going to be a nice day. On the program, we'll have Workforce Blocks of 1991, a year you guys also touched on with some great songs over the course of the day. We've got a block of the Stones. We've got a block of the Record Company, their first headline gig. Will be tomorrow night at the Fillmore. We've got Birthday Bucks at 1 p.m. And again, it's on right now, so I'll give the word again. It's radio, R-A-D-I-O, what you're listening to, radio. And you have till 15 after to get in, so you still have a few more minutes at WMMR.com or at MMR's mobile app. And now it's time for Jackson. So enjoy the rest of the day with him. Jackson, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great.
Yes, great.
You're doing great.
It's a great beer.
Best voice in radio.
He does have an amazing voice. All right, so it's been, we're like an hour and 15 minutes late than the, technically we're supposed to be on the air. But I got to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Also, French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors. FrenchCreekOutfitters.com. Why take a chance with anybody else? And also, Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Next week on the show, actor Paul Dano will be in our studio.
Yeah.
Jason Reitman, the director, will be in our studio.
Look at us hobnobbing with the knobs to hob with.
Andy Cohen will be on the phone next week.
Very nice.
And we're going to be in London next week broadcasting live. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot going on. So that's it. We are done. Thank you. Have a great weekend, all you Pierre Robert listeners. We appreciate you sticking around with us today. Have a good one. Ray John, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
So I can't say but I can say ass white, ass face, and ass pattery. So I will say that there is some ass pattery going on the turnpike today. Just need to get to work.
Next message.
Hi, this message is for Kathy. Calling to see about take me out to dinner this weekend. I know it's last minute and you're a busy person. If you want to, give me a call anytime or give me a text. Thank you very much.
Next message.
Maybe all this traffic on the Blue Route is actually good for my health because I'm about to go work out. And I feel like I can lift the entire gym.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.